That you're all jumping on board with us today. A lot going on in the world to catch you up on. Oh, man. It's been a tough one. It's been a tough one to keep following all of the moves happening right now on Capitol Hill. A lot happening there. Nothing, of course, for the American people, though, but I guess you could say it's the swamp just being swampy, and we're going to catch you up on all of that today. So excited that you're all joining me. We got a lot to dive into, a lot of legal stuff that we're going to be talking about in the show, as well as getting a lot of takes. Matt Peterson is going to be joining the show. He is one of the fellows over at the Claremont Institute. He's got a lot that he wants to break down because, folks, there's a lot happening, especially in regards to Congressman Congressman Corey Mills. Corey Mills, folks, is someone who we need to discuss because there's a lot going on there. As many of you guys know, we broke the report. I broke the report earlier this week in regards to the attempt to cover for Corey Mills. It's been ongoing for a very long time when there was a censure effort to get rid of Ilhan Omar off her committee assignments. Obviously, as many of you guys know, Mills was the one who saved her. Then it went on and on and on. And a lot of times they're throwing Corey Mills at Republicans because they're trying to sit there and push back. That's what they've been using as their tool. And so now Republicans wanted to just get ahead of everything. And so they decided, okay, let's just censor him ourselves and try to get him removed from his committee assignments ourselves. Well, there was an effort yesterday to do just that. Nancy Mace, the congresswoman from South Carolina, leading that effort. Unfortunately, it failed. I'll give you the latest on that, though, because now they're claiming there's going to be an ethics investigation into Mills. But it's really just a way to dodge him getting called out. I'll explain that in a little bit. Also, the redheaded libertarian is going to be joining the show later today. Josie's going to be joining us. There's a lot to talk about with her. And you're not going to believe a story. It's a story that I know men out there, it's probably one of your biggest fears, having a female lie about something about you. There was just a woman who apparently worked for a GOP congressman who, according to the DOJ, set herself up to be, it's bizarre, to be slashed, to be attacked. And then she was going to claim that she was the victim of a political hate attack. This individual apparently had a fetish. That's according to the DOJ. I'll walk you through the details. It's quite strange. She had this artist mutilate her. And when you look at the injuries that she has, it's bizarre. It's all really, really bizarre. We'll be talking about that and obviously covering that later as well, because I think it's really important to discuss how toxic social media has become and how it's just ruining women. I think it's just this, let's just say this quest for attention. So the DOJ is laying out a couple of pretty damning allegations against this individual. I'll read it to you, of course, but she was claiming to be the victim of a political hate crime. So we'll bring you the details on that. Also, obviously, the Epstein stuff happening yesterday. President Trump signed it. It's now a done deal, but now it lays at the hands of the DOJ and what they were going to release, what they're going to redact. And so we're going to ask a lawyer about that, too, later on in the show, because I have got a lot of questions as to can we really trust these individuals. And you're probably at home thinking, no, you can't, Brianna. Why even ask that question? So we've got a lot to dive into today. So I'm excited that you're all jumping on board with us. We'll also be taking your calls later on in the show as well. So a lot to dive into. In the meantime, though, make sure you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. Because for a limited time right now, we're giving away a free $10 credit. All you have to do is head on over to the shop and fill up your cart. There's no minimum required, and you're going to get that free $10 store credit. In addition to that, we also are giving away a free mystery flag. Now, that's only going to go on until tomorrow, so you're going to want to do this right now. Head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now and fill up your cart. Get your Christmas shopping on right now. Don't wait till the last minute, because we're selling out on a lot of items, and I know a lot of you guys are calling and wondering when we're going to get these things back. But get ahead of it. Head on over to alexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more to dive into in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
Go to thealexshowstore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, Ultramethylene Blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade, formula, bovine colostrum, the best, Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all jumping on board with us today. We've got a lot happening over here, so thank you for being with us. A lot happening right when we get off the air. And so I was still working all day yesterday, vetting a couple of really important pieces of information that we'll be bringing to you today. A lot happening on the Hill. Not really things that you'd probably want as one of your top priorities, of course, given the fact that we're dealing with a lot going on today. But I'll catch you up on everything that happened. A lot of votes took place yesterday. A lot of key votes took place yesterday. And we look forward to bringing you those details. Also, we'll be joined by Matt Peterson in just a few moments, probably in about, I'd say, about 50 minutes. He'll be joining the program because there's a lot to talk about. Matt is with the, he's one of the Washington fellows for the Claremont Institute. He's been doing a lot of research into topics like Congressman Corey Mills. I keep talking about it. Corey Mills, obviously, is someone who is dealing with a lot of criticism these days. A lot of ethical questions are being raised. He's now being investigated by the Ethics Committee. We'll get into those details in a little bit, but it's really important for you all at home to know what's going on, and we look forward to continuing to bring you that. I'm hearing from a lot of sources that this is all just his way of trying to deflect. We're not even really going to focus on the female angle to all of this because there's several different claims being made by ex-girlfriends, and he's legally married, so there's that angle to it. But we want to focus mainly on the corruption-related issues, the allegations of corruption, and that's what we'll be doing on today's show. We'll also be talking to the redheaded libertarian as well. She's got a lot to sound off on. There's a story, and I'll bring you some of the details in the first hour, but there's a story about this woman who apparently worked for a congressman in New Jersey for a bit, and the DOJ just recently charged her with filing a false report is what they're kind of claiming here, because they're saying that she was claiming to be a victim of a hate crime that was politically motivated, that she was attacked, that this individual slashed her. But then apparently, according to DOJ filings, they found out that she was following the person who attacked her on Instagram, and it was someone, I mean, they're just accusing her of having a fetish. It's quite the bizarre story, but if you're a guy, this is probably your worst nightmare, is running into a woman like this. So again, these are just allegations that the DOJ are making. I'll read you those details, but it's deeply, deeply concerning and something you should definitely want to learn about. But folks, yesterday was quite the eventful day. Many Democrats coming out and trying to, again, pin everything regarding Jeffrey Epstein on President Trump. But we've only seen new information come about that implicates Democrats more than President Trump in having a close tie to the pedophile. And so it's interesting to sit back and watch the lies all get cooked up. Yesterday, I'm going to play this clip for you. Akeem Jeffries, he was really not happy when he was asked a very tough question by a great reporter in the press pool yesterday. And clip one, you're going to listen to him as he has a meltdown in front of the media when he's asked about Epstein and the efforts that his team were leading behind the scenes to try to get a donation from him. And in return, they were supposed to allegedly have some type of dinner. Take a listen.
House Oversight Chairman Comer said yesterday on the floor that you had Jeffrey Epstein over for dinner and took money from him back in 2013. This was after he was on the sex offender list. Any comment on that? And will you be holding members accountable regardless of party affiliation if there were any misdeeds related to the Epstein
file? Was that a serious question or a serious statement? from malignant clown James Comer, that I had Jeffrey Epstein over for dinner, that I accepted money from Jeffrey Epstein. What's extraordinary to me about the clown show on the other side of the aisle is that they lie with impunity on things that are objectively verifiable. And why do they do that? It's because for months, Republicans have been burying the Jeffrey Epstein files. Not Democrats. Our view continues to be the same. We want to make sure that what the survivors have asked for, which is full and complete transparency in order to bring about accountability, actually happens. And Congress decisively and in a bipartisan way acted yesterday with respect to the release of the Jeffrey Epstein files. That's a victory for the survivors and a victory for the American people. And Donald Trump needs to sign that bill into law expeditiously.
Trump did sign that bill into law yesterday. No cameras were around because, again, he doesn't want this to be a political stunt. He's tired of it. He wants to move on from it. And rightfully so. Give us the files. Give us everything you have. And then we can move on from all of this. So the president announcing yesterday on X, obviously, again, reiterating the fact that he deems this as something that is a political stunt. And he posted that. He also posted the announcement saying that he did sign it. But isn't it interesting how Hakeem Jeffries, whenever you see the hands start moving around too quickly, is usually when they're full of it. Usually when they're full of it. We've seen the email. The email obviously not directly related to his campaign, but the reality of it is it's deeply concerning because, well, it shows what happens behind the scenes. The rich, the powerful, all they have to do is make some type of contribution and they get a dinner with the top guy in the Democratic Party right now. Obviously, he knew Hakeem Jeffries was a rising star and he took full advantage of that. It's interesting now that we're getting the emails too to see the level of political influence that Jeffrey Epstein truly did have. And again, I'm not going to tell you both sides are innocent, but I'm going to tell you that there's one side that's extremely guilty in all of this. And it's those on the left. It's those on the left. You know, we saw Larry Summers obviously come out yesterday and in front of his Harvard class issued an apology for his dealings with Epstein. Again, an individual who sat there and tried his very best to hide behind all of the allegations that were floating out there, but now we know there were emails being exchanged. We also know this took place as well with other high-profile individuals. So Democrats are continuing to play this game when they are the ones who are going to get implicated in all of this. And again, it's really hard to wrap my mind around the fact that there would be anything that you and I would want to know still left behind in those files. Folks, I'm not going to sell you a dream. I truly do believe that the last administration wouldn't leave anything behind that would implicate their own allies. Meaning they knew that the Trump administration was taking over and that he made this campaign commitment. And so one would have to assume that if you really didn't want them to go after high-profile individuals that have previously been accused of having ties to Epstein, like Bill Clinton, you probably would dump all that. So again, I'm excited that we're finally getting to this point where this will be made public, but I do not have high expectations, and I don't want you to have those either, because again, you can't trust the government. The people in these positions have done their very best to cover up and to protect those who are extremely powerful and those who they could hold this over their heads. And so I just don't believe any of this anymore. I don't think you're going to get anything substantial from any of this. But again, we're continuing to see Democrats defend their fellow Democrats for having a very personal relationship with Epstein. Now, they won't tell you it's personal. They're just telling you that, oh, we were just texting him. Obviously, Epstein was a big donor, a big contributor to their campaigns. Stacey Plaskett is one of the women who are getting really just ripped and destroyed. She's a delegate, but obviously, folks, she has been highly criticized because while she was sitting there during a congressional hearing, she was apparently exchanging text messages with Epstein. And it was all in an attempt to go after, guess who, Donald Trump. Take a listen to clip two and her defense, which really is just a weak, weak defense.
I believe that Jeffrey Epstein had information and I was going to get information to get at the truth. Having no a regret. Friendship with him is not something that I would deemed to have. And so I'm just looking forward. I'm moving forward. And I think that that's what we as American people should do is move forward. If individuals are not involved in illegal activity, extending his criminal enterprise or his financial enterprise or all of those things, I think that we need to look at what people are doing moving forward.
Wait, let me just better understand that. What is that point? Because at the time he was a known sex offender and it had been detailed all the sexual abuse.
There are a lot of people who have done a lot of crimes, and as a prosecutor, you get information from people where you can.
Important to note, she wasn't a prosecutor at the time. She was obviously sitting as a politician, as an elected official at the time. And so her justification for texting a pedophile is absolutely absurd. And it only gets worse. It only gets worse. But this is what they're doing. This is their defense. Their defense is they had to do whatever they had to do to go after Donald Trump. And they want their voter base to know just that. Yeah, they had to speak to somebody who was literally raping children. But they had to go after Donald Trump. Donald Trump was evil. And so they had to align with him to get their way. Folks, if I ever knew a pedophile, I sure as hell would never be texting them. There's no advantage. There's nothing that I'd want from an individual who's that low, who's that disgusting, who is that sick in the head. And so the fact that they all have these excuses to why they were communicating with the pedophile is quite disturbing. You know it's bad because CNN even has to do the fact checking, and they don't want to do the fact checking. Wait to listen to clip four, because this one's going to knock your IQ points a couple of points down, but CNN is forced to fact check Jasmine Crockett, and she's just really not that bright. Take a listen to how bad Jasmine Crockett is doing her best to try to defend all these horrific actions.
You talked about Republicans taking money from a Jeffrey Epstein. Here's what you said.
Who also took money from somebody named Jeffrey Epstein, as I had my team dig in very quickly. Mitt Romney, the NRCC, Lee Zeldin, George Bush, Win Red, McCain Palin, Rick Lazio.
You mentioned Lee Zeldin there. He's now a cabinet secretary. He responded and said it was actually Dr. Jeffrey Epstein, who's a doctor that doesn't have any relation to the convicted sex trafficker. Unfortunate for that doctor, but that is who donated to a prior campaign of his. Do you want to correct the record on the people that you
listen, I never said that it was that Jeffrey Epstein. Just so that people understand, when you make a donation, your picture is not there. And because they decided to spring this on us in real time, I wanted the Republicans to think about what could potentially happen, because I knew that they didn't even try to go through the FEC. So my team, what they did is they Googled. And that is specifically why I said a Jeffrey Epstein. Unlike Republicans, I at least don't go out and just tell lies. Because it was not the same one, that's fine. But when Lee Zeldin had something to say, all he had to say was it was a different Jeffrey Epstein. He admitted that he did receive donations from a Jeffrey Epstein, so at least I wasn't trying to mislead people. Now, have I dug in to find out who this doctor is? I have not. So I will trust and take what he says, is that it wasn't that Jeffrey Epstein, but I was not attempting to mislead anybody. I literally had maybe 20 minutes before I had to do that debate.
Yeah, but people might see that and say, well, you're trying to make it sound like he took money from registered sex offender.
No, but I literally did not know. When you search FEC files, and that's what I had my team to do, I texted him and I said, listen, we're going up. They are saying that she took donations.
Right, but someone might say, well, your team should have done the homework to make sure it wasn't the convicted
not
sex trafficker.
Within 20 minutes, you could not find that out, not from just doing a quick search on FEC. So, number one, I made sure that I was clear that it was a Jeffrey Epstein, but I never said that it was specifically that Jeffrey Epstein, because I knew that we would need more time to really dig in.
Yeah. Yeah, if that doesn't make any sense, that's because it's not supposed to. You're supposed to actually just listen to her and go, what the F is this woman thinking? She is horrific. Horrific. The fact that she thought that she could go out there and throw that out there and insinuate like people like Lee Zeldin are taking contributions from pedophiles because, well, she wants to make things look and appear even. Democrats are doing their very best to work with a convicted pedophile, somebody who's literally went to prison, although it was like a very light sentence, obviously. But back and forth, he did go. Folks, these people on the left are so egregious, so disgusting, such low lives. Jasmine Crockett, by the way, is apparently an attorney, probably probably barely passed the bar, but folks, she is just a lowlife, an absolute lowlife. The fact that she said, and she was very key with her words, of course, a Jeffrey Epstein. Does anyone know what's on her head? Is that a raccoon? But side note, you know, just, it's pretty freaking disgusting. This woman continues to think that she could go out there and make these types of claims. And she continuously does this because she's an attorney, so she knows how to dance around the truth. The truth is just she didn't do her research. Her staffers didn't do their research. You don't go out there and accuse people who have nothing to do with Jeffrey Epstein of taking donations from Jeffrey Epstein when it in fact was not the actual Jeffrey Epstein that you're referring to, especially because the name Jeffrey Epstein is such a common name. What a sick, horrible human being she is. But folks, not surprising at all. Not surprising at all. This is what the left's all about. They are lowlifes. They are losers. These are nasty, nasty people. So obviously, folks, I continue to cover it. We're going to switch gears a little bit and bring things over to those on the right, because Corey Mills is someone who, he's a congressman, obviously, from Florida, but he is someone we've called into question several times in my reporting. I know there's been a lot of reporters out there going after him because there's a lot there with Corey Mills. Now, he's facing allegations about his personal life, and I won't get into it, but as many of you guys know, there's multiple girlfriends involved in the situation. He's still legally married, and so it's just a mess. You just leave that to the side for now. Let's focus on the actual corruption-related issues, the allegations that he's facing regarding corruption. He is someone who I've always found to be quite strange. I never understood why networks, before he was even brought in as a politician, were forcing, when I was a producer, forcing us to have him on air at least once a week. He wasn't a contributor. He was just someone they wanted us to bring in. It was really kind of strange. And then I'm sitting back and I'm watching this whole setup in D.C. where they're protecting him. And I'm wondering, why are we protecting someone? It's interesting because when you compare the protection that Corey Mills is getting to the one that George Santos never received, you really have to scratch your head and wonder, why is this going on? George Santos was accused of like lying and misusing his campaign funds. That is amateur hour to what Corey Mills is being accused of right now. And so everyone just jumped on board and watched them go after George Santos and kick him out of Congress. And everyone was okay with that. But now we're sitting back and we're watching, and there are people who are trying their very best to protect Mills. As I reported earlier this week, there was that censure vote that did go on, obviously. We spoke about that. They, referring to the Democrats, Democrats threatened to go after Corey Mills, and as a result of all of that, they protected and intentionally failed the censure. That was according to members of Congress who I spoke to. We released that report. I released that report on my Twitter page. And since then, Corey Mills has denied it. He's denied it. Now, I've also reached out to the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson's office, and they also are in a disagreement with this report. But there are many, many members of Congress who tell me that this is accurate. So, Congresswoman Nancy Mace, and again, I just will keep it to this because I, as many of you know, if you follow me on Twitter, I've gone after her a bit. But Nancy Mace did do some good yesterday, and she got on the House floor and she gave a speech. She pretty much outlined specifically what Mills is accused of. Now, again, we're going to leave out the personal stuff. We're going to focus mainly on what he's accused of now. Take a listen to clip five and what, this is a partial clip, by the way. The full clip itself was, I think, around 10, 12 minutes. Take a listen to what Nancy Mace was outlining yesterday on the House floor.
Public reports indicate companies owned by Representative Mills sought or entered into contracts to sell munitions to foreign nations while serving as a member of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and on the Committee on Armed Services. Whereas entities owned by Representative Mills seeking or entering into contracts to sell munitions to the United States government as well as foreign nations. He did so while he serves as a member of the Committee on Foreign Affairs and Committee on Armed Services, represents a clear and troubling conflict of interest. Whereas in August 2024, and the Office of Congressional Conduct further adopted and transmitted to the Committee on Ethics of the House of Representatives a report indicating that there are substantial reason to believe that Representative Corey Mills may have omitted or misrepresented required information in his financial disclosure statements, accepted excessive contributions to his campaign committee in the form of personal loans and contributions that may not have derived from Representative Corey Mills' personal funds, and may have accepted through his campaign committee in-kind contributions or other contributions not lawfully made. Whereas individuals who served in the military with Representative Corey Mills have called into question the veracity of the account of events which formed the basis of a recommendation that Representative Corey Mills received the award of a Bronze Star.
Okay, so those are some of the allegations he's facing. It's also worth noting that Mills, who's still legally married, apparently when he was married to this woman that he's currently married to, he was married off by an Islamic terrorist. There's no other way to look at this. This guy allegedly has ties to the Muslim Brotherhood. He's an unindicted co-conspirator in the 9/11 bombing, obviously, folks. So there's a lot here. A lot here. A lot of people have questioned whether or not he has converted over to Islam. He still says that he is a Christian. But folks, someone with these types of ties should not be sitting on one of the biggest committees. And that's what Nancy Mace was outlining there for you. Foreign affairs, obviously deeply, deeply concerning, and he shouldn't be on that either. But that's what we have going on right now. Now listen. He is being investigated by the House Ethics Committee. And he is going to go about that route. I've got more on this story that we're going to keep developing. I've got more of another report being dropped probably later this afternoon on Mills. Now, again, I think you should go after anyone who has questionable foreign ties. They should not be landing on these high committee assignments. This is also someone who was accused, I believe, of driving through Syria as well by the Blaze. Not having any issues being able to drive around. He's meeting with the Syrian leader now, who we all know is a former, as they like to call him, Al-Qaeda terrorist. And he met with him twice so far. So again, I'm not telling you that he is 100% guilty of these. These are the allegations he's facing. And the fact that members in the House leadership, did their very best to try to protect Corey Mills tells me there's a lot more there than the American people know. Because George Santos didn't receive that same type of defense. They were all happy just to throw George Santos under the bus, which I was against at the time, obviously. But now we're watching it happen with Corey Mills with real allegations. Not a single person wants to speak up on this issue in his defense publicly, but privately they're doing their very best to go behind the scenes to protect Mills. Now again, this issue is deeply, deeply concerning. I'm going to keep following it. Again, I'll have another updated report hopefully later this afternoon, but it just seems to get worse and worse for Mills. Although he's denying these claims, I've been asking for months now, when were we going to open up this investigation into Mills? And Speaker Mike Johnson's office would ignore those questions every time. I've asked them at least four times. Just recently, recently, Johnson's office just telling me yesterday that they're going to allow the criminal, whatever, it's like a, he's got like a protective order against him from an ex-girlfriend. Like, we'll let that play out in court. But that's not the answer that we should be receiving. Keep in mind, that just deals with his personal related allegations, not the ones have to do with him landing on these high up committees assignments. It's a lot there. We'll keep digging into it, of course. Folks, don't go anywhere. We got more to dig into as well. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're giving away a free $10 credit with all purchases. There's no minimum required. So head on over to the Alex Jones Store right now and make sure you stock up for the holidays.
We'll join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
Oh, God, I'm scared now. These people really think, like, threatening me scares me. You don't know. I didn't already know this. It's why I'm coming after you. I'm a warrior. I come from good people that built this country. You're not dealing with all the trash and scum you come from. You're dealing with a Texan, bitch. And there's still some of us left. And we crush snakes under our heels. You got the tiger by the tail. You've got the problem. I am the detonator of the revolution you see around you, and you know it. And my work has just begun. So fill your hand.
Fill your hand, you son of a bitch.
You want a war? You got a war. You've been attacked. back at me and been enjoying yourself in your arrogant perch that you're part of the power structure at Invincible. You are scum. You are losers. You are retarded gremlins that fed on this country when she was asleep. Well, she ain't asleep now, bitch. So let me tell you about the real mafia of populism. Let me tell you about real power that comes from real people with real guts and real bones and real morals. If you think hurting and attacking people like me and the American people that are now awake will make us go away, please continue, and you will continue to find out.
We've only begun to fight. And like a boa constrictor, we're wrapped around them, and they got us, we got them. And we're just squeezing. And squeezing. And we get stronger, and you get weaker. So you just believe your little MSNBC bubble. You just stay in your little bubble. You just wear your little virtual reality goggles and just live in your little fantasy land all you want.
But while you're doing that, we are moving. And we've just begun to move. And if you think you're in trouble now, you haven't even begun to run into the next wave. It's here in about a year. You think you can discredit, remove Trump, and stop us? That's hilarious. You think you can take our purity and get us to attack Trump and get him out of the way for you? That's a symbol of how good we are and how strong we are. Now we're not going away. You see our purity as weakness. No, it's our strength.
Now, back to our program.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 90% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry. The InfoWar will continue with the Olive Shields Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time. So take action now. InfoWarsStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. It's glad that you're all joining us today. A lot going on in the world. A lot happening in Capitol Hill. Not really what the American people want to see, but, you know, we're going to call it out, whether it's Dems, rhinos, or just the corrupt. We're going to call it out on this show, and there's plenty to dig into, as many of you guys know. In the first segment, we did highlight the fact that Corey Mills is now being investigated by the Ethics Committee. Obviously, this is a big one, and people have been calling on this for a very long time now. We'll see how that plays out. But there's been a lot going on with Democrats as well, related to Jeffrey Epstein, and we dug into that a little bit, too. But someone's name you haven't heard in a while, it's being brought back up again. As many of you guys know, Dan Crenshaw is the congressman from Texas. He's very controversial in regards to those on the right. Don't really like him. I know many of us feel he's a rhino. And we're not really excited about Dan Crenshaw these days. I know so many people, when he first made his way into Congress, were very excited for him. And they have been largely disappointed. It has been very clear that he struggles, likely, with a lot of personal-related issues. But we're learning more and more about these issues because House Republicans, the leadership, has apparently barred him from traveling international for 3 months following a, quote, alcohol-related episode
during a trip to Mexico this summer. That's according to Punchbowl. Now, it's not just Punchbowl, folks. I don't bring you just the corporate media headlines and then push this for you. I've also heard this from sources, congressional sources as well, who did tell me this is true. Apparently, they're claiming that there was an incident that occurred in August when he was officially at the capacity of a congressional delegate visiting Mexico, where Crenshaw was having drinks with a couple of Mexican officials. Apparently, he got really, really rough, and they asked him to leave. So now he is no longer, for the next 3 months, allowed to travel as a congressional delegate. House Republicans, the leadership, is putting that to an end. And Dan Crenshaw, man, I know a lot of people crack jokes. I've cracked my own fair jokes about the guy. Just like you believe he is super sensitive. But you just have to wonder. I mean, there's just so much hate that he spews on social media as well. Most of us, I know Tucker probably assumed that there might have been something behind it all. But I do think that, I do hope that he is getting assistance for what appears to be alcoholism. Because he is just ranting all the time on Twitter. And again, if this report's true, it just highlights another issue with the guy. So Dan Crenshaw being banned from being a congressional delegate and traveling abroad for the next 3 months due to this episode. And again, I asked around. Other people in Congress are saying, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. We got to get our ish together, man. I mean, how are these our fellow Republicans? You're supposed to be the ones fighting for the American people? That's not good, folks. That's not good. I want to play you this clip. Nancy Pelosi, she's rambling these days. I'm just rambling, can barely hold her dentures in. It's very, very clear that she's really struggling. But obviously she announced that she's not running for re-election. She's going to retire, which is good news, obviously, for the rest of us. But if you've been strongly relying on her stock advice, not good news for you, especially if you work over BlackRock. But she outlined to Anderson Cooper in clip six as to why she's all of a sudden retiring, and you're not going to believe her reasoning. Take a listen.
This is your first interview since you've announced that you'll be retiring at the end of your term. Why go now?
Why did I retire?
Yeah.
Well, I've been eager to sort of go into another phase of life for a while. I thought Hillary Clinton was going to win in 2016, and the Affordable Care Act would be intact, and our country would be in great hands. She was so qualified, and then that didn't happen, so we had to stay to make the fight, and now we're making the fight again.
So she's giving up on the fight, and she's checking in to happy hour a little sooner. Nancy Pelosi heading on out the front door. She is just absolutely losing it. And again, I get that she's like way over 80 at this point now, but gosh, if there's ever been a better case for term limits, it is this woman. This woman. And the interview with Anderson Cooper that she did was so strange. It was a really bizarre interview. Like, really bizarre interview. A lot of it I'll attribute to age at this point. But listen to clip seven, because in clip seven, she's going to talk specifically about, it's so strange. Anderson Cooper asked her a question about previous quotes that she's given about Donald Trump and what she said about him. And her response is just, it's absolutely bizarre. Take a listen.
One of the things you said recently in an interview, you said that President Trump was a vile creature, the worst thing on the face of the earth. Do you think he's different now than he was in his first term in terms of his abilities, his leadership?
By the way, I said that as a euphemism. I could have done much worse.
You could have done worse. You could have said worse.
Yeah.
Do you want, are there other adjectives you'd rather use?
No, you know. No, I want to talk about my house, the House Democrats, and how we're going to win.
Yeah, she's losing it. All right. That's me being nice. She's lost it. She's lost it. Such an awkward interview that Anderson Cooper had to do with her. I don't even know what to say about Nancy Pelosi. I feel like I've said everything about the woman. It's good that she's leaving, obviously. Whoever's going to fill in her slot, though, probably going to be worse than her. That's usually how these things work. They only get more radical. And so one would assume it's probably going to be a horrible person. But she's just so bizarre. Such a strange, strange woman.
So it's good to see her go. Speaking about strange women, Sheila McCormick. She is the congresswoman from Florida. Sheila apparently was accused a while back of misusing FEMA funds. But according to the DOJ, who's now had her indicted, Congresswoman McCormick has now been officially indicted. And she's facing a very, very massive amount of prison time right now. She was indicted in a federal courthouse yesterday for allegedly stealing millions of federal emergency funds. And ultimately, it's not just her too, it's her brother to keep in mind. And directing some of her campaign accounts as well. In 2021, they're accusing her, prior to her election to Congress, a healthcare company owned by McCormick, received $5 million in overpayment on FEMA-funded contract for coronavirus vaccinations. Defendants allegedly conspired to steal the funds by routing them through multiple accounts. Prosecutors claim that some of the stolen funds were used to finance her House campaign for South Florida, including by funneling money to friends and family who donated it as a part of a straw donor scheme. Additionally, the DOJ, again, going after her brother as well in all of this. But it's interesting to see the AG's office saying using disaster relief funds for self-enrichment is a particularly selfish, obviously, crime. And folks, that's what we're talking about here. This is exactly what the left does all the time, but all politicians. Interesting to note, too, later today, we're expecting to hear from Congressman Stube, Greg Stube, who's expected to file a motion to have her removed from her committee assignments as well. So it's going to keep happening. If we keep at this rate, this trajectory, we probably should have removed like 90% of those on the Hill right now. And 90% is me being nice, probably a lot more. But that vote is expected to happen later today. Now, she was previously confronted by a local news outlet about these allegations of corruption. I want you to listen in clip 8 on how she responded when confronted with that. Take a listen.
She was back in the district at this event. We tried again.
I also wanted to ask you about the investigation into your families. But this is also part of her congressional duties. Congresswoman, you know, you're under investigation for the congressional ethics for violation of campaign finances. Congresswoman, this is your district. You have to answer to these people. Congresswoman.
Attorneys for her family's healthcare company aren't answering the I-team's questions either, and the Department of Emergency Management says they won't comment on ongoing litigation, leaving taxpayers and her constituents wondering what happened to those millions.
Oh, I actually didn't even realize that was the old network I used to work for. I used to produce for them over in South Florida. But folks, you know, fun fact, you know, Democrats, people just think they can get away with these things. I'm sure they thought that this was going to be a great thing. They could just shuffle through a couple accounts and they'd be good to go. These allegations are obviously deeply, deeply concerning, and the American people deserve to know if this truly did happen. So, of course, she'll get her day in court, but the reality of it is the corruption is beginning to make its way to the surface. And I know a lot of these people think they were going to get away with these things. But they were going to get away with these things. And thankfully, that's not the case. I want to pick things off by also talking about something that's happening tomorrow in the Oval Office. President Trump yesterday took to Truth Social to talk about Zohran Mamdani, apparently. Zohran Mamdani is going to be making his way to the Oval Office tomorrow to meet with President Donald Trump in person. Now, obviously, he's a communist, and thankfully, President Trump outlining just that. But the reality of it is Zohran Mamdani's not worthy of being at the White House, at the Oval Office. He is a communist. He is a horrible person. And I truly, truly believe he's not worthy of this honor. But the president didn't ask me, of course. So he'll be meeting with him tomorrow. We'll be covering it, obviously. If it does happen in the morning time, we'll let you all know. Probably not the morning time, since Zohran Mamdani doesn't really have or never has had a job, a real job. So he probably sleeps in. But we look forward to seeing what takes place there. I'm sure it's going to be a very interesting meeting. Probably could have been a phone call, maybe an email. I mean, this guy was sent to this country specifically for the project of destroying this nation, the mission of destroying this nation, and that is what is going to happen in New York City. New York City has been conquered. That's how they view it in their eyes. And so, I don't know. When we take calls later, you guys can let me know what you think. But for me, I gotta say this. I truly believe having a meeting in the Oval Office makes it look like Zohran Mamdani has an ounce of credibility, like he's a legitimate threat. Wouldn't even bring him there. Send him an email. Have a phone call with him. That's all you need to do. He's an evil communist. He is obviously somebody who is a sympathizer for Islamic terrorists. And nobody I want to see in the Oval Office. But then again, we did just have an Al-Qaeda terrorist in the White House. You might as well keep the theme going. Let's turn to this too as well, because, you know, Zohran Mamdani, he's talking about how he won his political campaign, and this one in clip 10, he outlines how illegal aliens, one specific illegal alien, really did help contribute to his campaign. Take a listen.
Her aunt with a feeling like she couldn't even leave their home. I heard from an older Bangladeshi woman who told me that she canvassed for me over the course of this campaign in fear of whether she would be picked up in the course of knocking on doors because she was afraid to even go to the grocery store. And I think what we've seen under this current administration here in New York City is an unwillingness to stand up for the laws we already have here. We have sanctuaries.
Okay. That's probably a crime. And wouldn't it be good, while he's at the White House, wouldn't it be good if just we denaturalize him and we just round him up and arrest him and then just ship him back off? I mean, that would be the ideal situation here. He's openly admitting to having an illegal alien working on his campaign. Now, obviously, it's probably a volunteer position, but the reality of it is it doesn't matter to me. Use everything you can to make sure that this guy does not take over in New York City. I mean, it's going to happen at this point because no one's intervened thus far. They have not done their digging. They have not brought anything to the surface yet that would disqualify him. Legally, we've had obviously members of Congress detail how they want him denaturalized so that we could deport him. And it's obviously the reports in regards to him taking foreign contributions to his campaign that he did also give a refund on when he realized that story went public. But he's a horrible person. He's going to be very destructive. And unfortunately, we're just have to sit back and watch this happen. This weak beta man who is now going to be running New York City. What a sad day for America when that happens. What a sad day. This guy's never had a real job. He was installed. He was brought into this country for this specific reason. They have weaponized our own election process against us. And now we officially have a communist. I almost said a bad word. Fairy. Was now going to be leading New York City. What a disgraceful, disgraceful moment for us all. He's also going to be very destructive. New York City is going to see crime rates that they've never seen before. In clip 11, Zohran Mamdani is outlining what his plans are to make sure that his fellow left-wing terrorists who decide to have very violent protests aren't met with any type of pushback by law enforcement. Take a listen to clip 11 and how he's outlining how he's going to destroy the NYPD's anti-riot division.
I think that people are going to look at it and say, well, how can you get to those positive outcomes of public safety if you disagree on things like the strategic response group? She wants to keep it. You want to get rid of it. Where did you land on that?
You know, I continue to have my concerns around the strategic response group because there are concerns around the fact of whether we can ensure that we're not only protecting New Yorkers, but also New Yorkers' ability to exercise their First Amendment rights. And I see with the commissioner a shared belief in the importance of that exercise as well as being able to protect New Yorkers. And I think when you look at No Kings, the protest where we had tens of thousands of New Yorkers come out in the streets and voice their displeasure with the federal administration that has been going after them time and time again, we saw that that was not only an exercise of their First Amendment rights, but also something that they were able to do safely.
Yeah, this is fitting. This is while we're talking about public safety, right? We hear the sirens going. So just to stay on that for a moment, the strategic response group, is it going away, or was that a negotiation that she wanted to keep it?
No, I've made clear my concerns. I don't think that the NYPD strategic response group should be how we respond to protests, and that's something that we'll be following through.
So it's going away.
We're going to have a different...
You see that? So he's just an evil, evil person, and you're going to find out the hard way. If you're a member of the NYPD right now, you better get out. You better get out. Cash in all those retirements if you can, and just leave. Just leave. That's the advice I'm giving my friends who are currently with the agency still. There's no purpose there anymore. It is going to be a very rough, rough few years in New York City. If you own a property, sell it, get out. Now is the time to get out. I want to switch gears a little bit to the FBI. You know, we rarely hear about the personnel firings that are happening behind the scenes over at the FBI because the FBI is not allowed to publicly announce those things. They're not allowed to confirm firings. And so when I do reach out for comment, they always say we can't discuss personnel matters, but we can discuss them when these individuals come forward and put their face all over these issues. One individual apparently is a 16-year vet of the agency. He was fired. I mean, actually covered on the show. He was fired for having a pride flag on his desk. Now, according to reports, that pride flag was draped near his desk, and he was fired for that. David Maltedsky is his name. He's a 16-year FBI employee. He detailed specifically in clip 9, we'll play that for you, he detailed what he believes took place against him. Take a listen.
Were you surprised when you got the word you were to leave?
I wasn't surprised. I was definitely disappointed. I knew, not truly firsthand, but I knew I was on a list. There was fear after the administration came in that they were going to start looking at all of our personnel files where some of us did self-identify our sexual orientation. Some people did identify as trans. So there was fear early on that DOJ was going to collect this and they were going to curate a list and get rid of the undesirables.
You say it pretty casually, but it's pretty powerful to hear that phrase. You say you were likely on a list. That's quite something.
It's concerning.
Now, what's concerning is how somebody like him was able to be elevated to his position. And why would you disclose the fact that you're gay? Who cares? Why did he feel like he had to tell the world that what his sexual preference was? I mean, that's the best way to describe it. Not a place. The work environment is not a place for us to figure out what gender you like to have sex with. And the fact that he put it on his desk, he was very prideful of it. He was displaying it, even participating in these DEI events. No, the workplace isn't supposed to be about that. Folks, if you're a heterosexual man and you decided to talk about your love for women and your sex life with women, and you're prideful of that, guess what? You'd end up in HR and you'd end up fired as well. So this whole victim card, they targeted me because I was gay. Well, why do they know that you're gay? This isn't your personal life that we're trying to disclose. This is your professional life. You're an employee of the FBI. You do not disclose your sex life details. But they feel like they can. They feel like they should. And that's the problem with all of this. That's the problem with all of this. And in case you didn't know, Rick Grenell, obviously someone who is also gay, decided to respond to this FBI employee's, former FBI employee's claims that he made. Rick Grenell saying he wasn't fired because he's gay. He was fired for being incompetent. He worked there for 16 years and yet still wasn't promoted to an agent? Why didn't Biden promote him? Why can't reporters do actual journalism? Cash Patel helped raise money for gay conservatives. This attack, obviously, is nonsense. And again, CBS not pushing back, just running the propaganda, being called out by Grenell. We don't need to know what your sex life or what your sexual preferences are. Nobody asked. It's so frustrating that they keep doing this to us. So obviously now he's suing. That's what they would do. How about playing the victim card and going out there full swing and telling people, oh, I'm being targeted because I'm gay. But you disclosed that information and there was no reason to talk about that. Apparently too, by the way, we'll play the full clip later on in the show with Matt in just a few moments, but apparently the flag that was put outside of the FBI field office that he was working at, that was the pride flag that they gave him. Why is it FBI field office flying a flag that details someone's sexual preference? None of this makes any sense. None of this makes any sense. There you go. Oh, that's such a sweet story. It's not. Listen, nobody cares about your sex life. You're here to work. You're here to work. And I'm glad Rick Grinnell's calling it out, because Rick Grinnell's calling out the truth. Why weren't you promoted? Probably because you sucked at your job. And they never want to hear that. 16 years? 16 years. And Joe Biden was just tossing promotions out. Anyone. Literally anyone. DEI literally elevated the dumbest of the dumb. This guy? He didn't get elevated? That's strange. That truly, truly is. Again, he's going to have his day in court now because he is suing. So we look forward to seeing how that all works out for him. But it's just so frustrating. Imagine having to work, and you wanted to work in law enforcement your entire life, and you're forced to work next to a guy who wants to be so prideful and display what sexual preferences he has on his desk every day. Yeah, if that was the private sector, guess what? You'd probably get sued. You probably would get sued. So good riddance, dude. It's pretty frustrating, though. I really wish they could just give you numbers over at the FBI as to how many people they've fired thus far. They don't want to give you any of those numbers, though. They hold those close to their chest. They don't want to reveal any of the information. I want to know who's being fired behind the scenes. You know, I want to know what type of people, because a lot of these people were politically motivated to their positions, elevated throughout the FBI because of their positions. So how many more of these individuals did we toss? I don't even need to know their names. Just give me numbers. Give me numbers. You know, I'll never forget the Parkland shooting in Florida. Just weeks, I think it was 2 weeks prior, the local FBI field office in the Parkland area actually did a DEI hiring event. Christopher Wray actually attended that event. So who knows? Who knows what could have happened? Obviously, a lot of that fell on local law enforcement in Parkland. But maybe if we weren't so concerned with DEI, the FBI would have maybe stopped that from taking place in Parkland. It's just so infuriating what's happened. DEI has completely destroyed so many, not only federal agencies, but businesses, everything. And it's good to see that it's finally coming to an end. We hope that this is actually permanent. But man, oh man, do we have a lot of filth to purge out of these institutions. All right, folks, we got a lot more going on in the show today. Matt Peterson will be joining me in just a few moments. You're not going to want to go anywhere. We'll have him after the quick break. In the meantime, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com, because when you head on over to the shop, you're going to get a free $10 credit applied to your cart when you stock up today. There's no minimum required. So all you got to do is head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Also, join the Alex Jones membership. As many of you guys know, when you sign up and subscribe for $30 a month, you get a free $40 credit to use. And you also get a hat. That's a hat club now. Head on over to the shop if you're interested at thealexjonesstore.com.
I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of the other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now like my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But yeah, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I need a lot of help too. And I brought online that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. But, yeah, I just thought I would tell you guys about my experiences so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight wise too. And so, finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those like
high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but, it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well. Here, so welcome to the party. A lot of corruption being exposed, a lot of nonsense being outlined for you. So we're excited that you're jumping on with us today. We'll be joined by Matt Peterson in just a few moments. Going to dig a little bit deeper into that FBI employee who claims he was fired for being gay. He's done a very extensive interview with CBS, and there's a lot there. So look forward to playing that for you, of course, because he's claiming Cash Patel fired him because he's gay. Now that holds up to my standards, I'm okay with that. But obviously, he's playing the victim card, and we will ask Matt how he feels about all of this, because Matt's been very specifically following when it comes to FBI corruption, these stories, and we've both been calling for the mass purge of these political individuals who have infiltrated the FBI to spew their narrative and to weaponize the agency. And so this will be something we look forward to speaking about, of course. Also, we'll be playing a clip about Miranda Devine speaking with the press secretary as well, because press secretary is outlining, Caroline Leavitt's outlining how she caught reporters just roaming around the White House press area. And they were trying to listen in on private conversations. And so since that, they've added some restrictions in place. Now that sounds a lot like what I've heard over at the Pentagon. Again, that's another one that has some restrictions now that the media doesn't like. So Caroline Leavitt speaking out and detailing the claims that she has made. Plus, Matt Peterson's also been dealing with a lot in regards to Corey Mills drama. He has been doing a lot of reporting on it, talking about it quite often. So we look forward to hearing his reaction to the latest news that has made its way to the surface regarding that ethics committee investigation. And then there's a lot of other things going on in the legal world as well. In case you guys don't know, now you do, but Pam Bondi yesterday came out and said that everything related to Jeffrey Epstein is being handled by the Southern District of New York. SDNY, if that doesn't make you a little nervous. I don't know if you've been watching InfoWars. SDNY is obviously one of the more corrupt DOJ districts. Several very corrupt cases always make their way over there. And so when we're talking about Epstein, it's not going to really get me excited because, folks, it's where all the good stuff goes to die. The Southern District of New York. We'll also be talking about what happened yesterday in court as well, because James Comey was actually kind of given a little bit of a win. And the charges against him are looking to be possibly, potentially dropped, forced out by the courts. Mike Davis even sounding off on that, saying that it's just the judge, it's another rogue judge. But we'll outline the claims of both sides, of course, and bring you what they're saying, because I'm a little on edge these days. I'm a little on edge. Also, around in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to be taking your calls as well, so we look forward to that. I'll also be joined by the redheaded libertarian. We've got a lot to talk about there, because Marjorie Taylor Greene was calling out President Trump for calling her a traitor. There's also a woman, and the story itself is really bizarre. We'll play it for, we'll walk you through it, but there's a woman who, according to the DOJ, was a part of some fetish. And she's a former GOP congressional staffer, but she ultimately was saying that she was attacked and slashed all over her body. And this was a politically motivated attack. The DOJ coming out and saying, no, it wasn't the case. Now they have in fact charged her. They believe that she lied to them. That she apparently paid some type of fetish artist to mutilate her body. It's bizarre, but it also highlights a big issue that we have in this country right now that's not being discussed enough. So I'll be speaking with her on that front as well. So a lot going on over here, folks. If you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, because we have the Alex Jones Hat Club going on right now. When you subscribe today for $30 a month, you get the benefits that the members of the Hat Club get. These hats are not sold on the Alex Jones Store or anywhere else. This is exclusive when you join as a member. New hats every month with a unique design style every 30 days.
So head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com and join the Hat Club. Be thankful that you did. More on the way. Don't go anywhere.
We are live, still on air, despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited that you're all joining us in the second hour of the program. So welcome to the show. A lot going on over here. A lot of corruption being called out on both sides, which is the good news. Both the left and the rhinos on the right are getting finally some attention to the corruption-related issues that are happening on Capitol Hill. We'll keep talking about that throughout today's show, of course. We walked you through a lot of allegations at the top of the hour, last hour, and folks, I mean, there's a lot going on right now on Capitol Hill. But let's talk about the FBI for a split second here, because the FBI, they won't confirm it with you when you reach out for comment regarding personnel decisions when they fire individuals, but there apparently are a lot of individuals behind the scenes, we don't know a number though, who are getting fired based on their political beliefs, because a lot of people were elevated within the agency because of their political beliefs, that they aligned with the regime. They were promoted. They were brought to the tops of their ranks. Well, one individual apparently wasn't promoted, but he's claiming to be a 16-year veteran of the agency. And he's claiming that he was fired because, well, Pat Patel found out he had a pride flag on his desk. Now, this 16-year veteran, who according to Rick Grinnell, was never promoted to an agent. He says that's a sign of incompetency, but his name is David Maltinsky, and he outlined his claims to CBS News yesterday. I want you to take a listen to what those claims were.
After 16 years inside the FBI's Los Angeles field office, David Maltinsky was just weeks away from a promotion to becoming a special agent. Last month, he was escorted into a meeting and fired.
Were you surprised when you got the word you were to leave?
I wasn't surprised. I was definitely disappointed. I knew not truly firsthand, but I knew I was on a list.
Maltinsky, who is gay, alleged there was a list of agents management was targeting. After years of service with commendations, the Bureau told Maltinsky he was let go because of an inappropriate display of political signage in his work area. This is what he had displayed, a pride flag, which had been presented to him by the FBI after it flew outside the FBI's L.A. field office.
I don't know what their goal was, but if it was to send a chilling effect throughout the men and women at the FBI, it was effective. Many gay colleagues have removed pride flags from their desks.
Horrified by the Pulse nightclub shooting in 2016, Maltinsky helped support the Bureau's diversity initiatives and was honored for it. The Trump administration has targeted efforts to ensure diversity in its workforce. FBI Director Kash Patel has testified staff would not be fired over politics.
The only actions we take, generally speaking, for personnel at the FBI are ones based on merit and qualification and your ability to uphold your constitutional duty. You fall short, you don't work there anymore.
In his lawsuit, Maltinsky argues his firing amounts to discrimination and wants his job back.
We're not the enemy. We're not some political mob. We're proud members of the FBI, and we have a mission to do.
The FBI told CBS News it wouldn't comment on Maltinsky's lawsuit. Scott McFarland, CBS News, Washington.
It's an interesting interview, given the fact that why are we talking about your sex life in the workplace? Joining me to discuss is Matt Peterson. He is a Washington fellow for the Claremont Institute, and he's with us now. And it's great to have Matt on, because you know, I gotta say, I am happy that they're doing this, okay? That's the first thing. I don't like the fact that people are so freely talking about what their sexual preferences are in the workplace. There's never a place for that, especially if you're a heterosexual man and you decide to talk about your love for women. You'd instantly get fired and dragged into HR. So again, this seems to be the standard here where it's not applied evenly across for everyone, Matthew. But I wanted to get your take on this because you and I are constantly very critical of the FBI. So what do you make of this?
Well, I mean, first off, we're hearing one side of the story, right? I mean, we have someone who's upset that they were fired, and you expect normal voters expect that when political people go into these organizations, they clean house and they put people who align with the priorities of the new administration, you know, into place. And of course, for decades, that hasn't been happening. What ends up happening is you have people who align with the left. And they stay in office, right? They stay in their position no matter what the administration. And we all know that the FBI needs to be cleaned out. So if we just take what he's saying, if it is just his, you know, displaying of his political beliefs, well, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. That's been going on for a long time. Anyone who is conservative has been persecuted in all these agencies, not just the FBI. Because the bureaucratic state sort of moves in the same direction and has become politicized and weaponized over the last, you know, 10, 20 years. So I hear what you're saying, but I also would say we probably don't even know the whole story. I mean, if it took this long to become an agent, what else is his record like? And, you know, was there a rule about having political stuff in the workplace and displaying that? You know, I don't think that most people are going to be crying about this.
No, I don't think most people will be crying about this. And, you know, it would be good to get some more information on this, but you know, when we reach out for a comment from the FBI about these personal matters, they don't give you comments, and CBS also tried to get their side of it as well, but they didn't give them comment now because it's a legal issue. So there seems to be that angle to it as well, where we just aren't going to hear both sides of it as of right now. But this is one of my main issues with the FBI. You know, I understand they can't comment specifically on personal matters. But, you know, when we sit here and talk about purging out the people who have risen to the high ranks within the FBI based on their political beliefs because they're aligned with the Biden regime, Peterson, we talk about this often. And for some reason, the FBI won't give us a number as to how many people have been fired for this because they are people who are not qualified for these positions in the first place. Do you think that the FBI should have to divulge a little bit of information about how many people have been fired based on the story you may have heard there or based on their political beliefs? Like should there be some type of reporting being done by the FBI?
Yes, I think at the very least, the FBI owes the American people under the Trump administration an explanation of what the plan is to reform the FBI, because most of the people who voted for Donald Trump, the majority of voters in this country, were not satisfied with the performance of the FBI, to put it mildly, over the last decade. They know it needs to be cleaned out. I mean, this is like the classical Aegean stables, which were full of you-know-what from the horses for centuries, and Hercules had to divert a river to sweep it all away. We know that's how bad it is. So what are you doing to reform it? Are you reframing the mission of the FBI? Are you restructuring how it's operating? And then, of course, how many people are you getting rid of who are already politicized, have been there to enact, right, another person's politics for a long time that, by the way, stands directly against more than half the country? So you know, it's understandable if the FBI can't say everything, but you're going to have to put the old ways, you know, aside and be much more transparent. And you can see Bongino trying to do that on X, I think, but they really need to be more transparent if they want to restore trust in the institution to the American people. And the problem is, you know, the FBI, the DOJ, they stand for the rule of law. These are very important institutions. So it is extremely important that this administration regains that trust, and transparency is one of the ways to do that.
Yeah, and transparency is critical right now because everyone wants to see the FBI get gutted from all these political hacks that have infiltrated the agency, because we've seen enough over the last 4 years under the Biden years, and we want all those people gone so that it's an agency that can be trusted. I mean, the reality is if we're probably to poll the American people right now, I don't think they've been reassured enough that they can trust the FBI to do its job. And so, you know, we'll keep pushing for that. Obviously, that's very, very important. But I want to shift over to the FBI from the FBI to the White House for a second, because, you know, Miranda Devine is doing a bunch of really incredible interviews, and she was able to sit down with the press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, yesterday, and she released this podcast interview that the two of them did. Ultimately, you know, Caroline Leavitt
detailing why reporters are now restricted into what areas they are allowed to go into. Because apparently, according to her, she caught some reporters roaming around and eavesdropping. Take a listen to clip 14 and the allegations she outlines.
And you've recently just banned the media from coming into what's called upper press, mm-hmm. which I think is just the area around your offices.
Yeah.
And why was that?
So upper press is the suite that you're in. This is my office, and there's several other offices and staff that sit up here. We are steps away from the Oval Office, as you know. And then downstairs, right near the press briefing room, there is what's called lower press. And I have 10 staff who sit down there, and they are the front lines of the White House press corps. And the White House press corps have full access to that space, to everyone on our press team, to take their questions, answer their questions. And what was happening up here is, now that we have taken over the responsibilities of the National Security Council, thanks to the restructuring of Secretary Rubio when he became National Security Advisor, Stephen Chung and I are responsible for all communications matters, including national security. Mm-hmm. And so we felt it became very inappropriate for reporters to be loitering around sensitive information in our offices. And we did, unfortunately, catch some unruly reporters recording us without our permission, listening in on conversations, eavesdropping. We'd have staff meetings in the morning. Some of the reporters started to pick up on that, and we'd walk out, and they would be out there trying to listen. You know, if Secretary Rubio or the chief want to come in and brief us on something, you'd have reporters out there heckling them, and it just became an inappropriate worker environment.
Okay, so Peterson, I've heard this before where those in the Pentagon have said that they caught reporters kind of roaming around areas they shouldn't have been, and then since then have now buckled down and created restricted areas. Although the media denies all of this, that they did this in the Pentagon, and they're denying the Pentagon's claims. I mean, this seems to be happening in the White House as well. The media, again, was denying it when they first announced all these changes that were going to be taking place, and they're just saying this is the way that they're kind of buckling down on all of this. But you obviously spend a lot of time in D.C. Do you think that there's any truth to these allegations that both White House and now Pentagon have laid out?
Yeah, look, this is one of those things where I don't even understand what, you know, a lot of the media is complaining about. It's not as if they don't have access. Mm-hmm. So they're going to whine about any time there's any restriction, quote unquote, on them. But the White House is actually a surprisingly open place. You know, America was built this way. It used to be a long time ago. You could go up and knock on the door, you know, 100 years ago. Those times have changed. But nonetheless, if you do have a press pass, you are able to go in there. You do have access to people. There's no reason why you can't be restricted from going in certain areas where people work. And, you know, look, we long since passed the point where the press, which most people don't even hate enough, has become just an enemy of one side of the political spectrum. So yeah, they're going to go in there. They're going to record things. They're going to do whatever they can. They all regard themselves as activists now. They have for the last decade, especially when Trump appeared on the scene. So these are, to me, these are sort of ridiculous, you know, dramas that are just spun up by the press themselves, because there's no reason why you wouldn't want to control your workspace and make it so that there's some areas press can come into and some they can't, especially when they are obviously working for all kinds of other interests, and their own interest is directly opposed to that of the administration, and they're willing to say anything and do anything to destroy one side of the aisle. So I think this is really just you know, kind of a return to normalcy in a way, and establishing some boundaries, which are important in any relationship, especially when that relationship is failing.
Yeah, and it is. And you know, it's crazy because over at the Pentagon, people were, and by people I'm talking about the journalists, they're the only ones who were outraged about the agreement they were asked to sign. And I read through it. We've read through it here. There was nothing crazy in the agreement itself. It's just looking to restrict areas that people were going into. And although the media says they weren't just roaming around freely, I've heard stories about how those who were working within the Pentagon, who worked for the government, didn't realize they were talking to a journalist, because there was a journalist just kind of strolling around, and they disclosed information that they shouldn't have disclosed, and that was a problem. And so now they're trying to create these boundaries, and the media is not happy about it. But when asked about it, you know, they could only say, well, they're just trying to, specifically for the Pentagon, they keep telling me, oh, well, they're just trying to restrict what we could report on. But that's not the case. I mean, I've been very critical of what's been happening at the Pentagon, now releasing four stories about it and criticizing them directly. directly, but as respectful as possible. And they haven't pulled my credentials. They haven't threatened to do just that. And so for people to sit there in the media and pretend like that's the case, it's not the case. And it's really frustrating because I never understood how these media outlets are just able to just kind of stroll around. I mean, Matt, we both obviously have a lot of media experience. I would go to sporting events and cover sporting events for Major League Baseball, for an example, and it was always required 100% of the time that you display your credentials and have them on you. And for some reason, a lot of these media outlets were strolling around the Pentagon without their credentials being displayed. So they're upset now. They're being reprimanded and told that they have to do just that, and they're told to sign this in writing. And for some reason, you know, they think that they're obligated to just kind of do whatever they want. It just seems to be, and I'll let you kind of get the final word on this one, this topic at least. It just seems to be that the media has this type of, this high horse that they should just be able to do whatever they want. There's no restrictions. And now that we're replacing them, we are, the independent journalists are replacing them. They're coming after us. I mean, what do you make of this? The new media replacing the old media, and the old media is not happy and they're trying to launch an attack.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that. You're so right about both those points. You know, first off, the White House itself, it says, is a surprisingly open place even now. I mean, it depends on what sort of pass you had. I mean, I much prefer, you know, the A pass, the nice pass, where you can basically roam about anywhere. I mean, people will be surprised by that once you get in there. Now, the press pass, of course, is much more restrictive as to where you can go and how, and it should be. This is just common sense. It's a return of common sense normalcy, and it's the same with DOD. What was being asked of the press was completely normal. The type of things that have, been in place under regimes in the past. And of course, you don't let the press just roam around wherever they want. You can still report. You're not being persecuted. You're still allowed in the building in certain designated areas. And go, guess what? You have to wear a badge. That's why we have the whole system in the first place. But, you know, even more importantly, maybe is that your other point, which is a lot of this frustration on the part of the media is coming from the fact that they realize they don't have a monopoly on who gets to go in there anymore. And, you know, your audience, you know, you guys need to realize how important these people think they are because they get a freaking pass.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And really a pass is just like, hey, we think you're, you know, qualified enough to come in here and be professional enough to do the job. You know, there's no special magic to it, but these people, this is their identity is tied to this. So I don't know. At the end of the day, I find all this stuff really pathetic.
Yeah. And their identity is tied to their mainstream outlets. And most of these people can't even scramble and get an audience themselves. I mean, the people who were coming after me after we announced here that I was going to be, as an independent journalist, credentialed and going to cover, the amount of hate that I was receiving from those who formerly worked inside the Pentagon as journalists, so-called journalists, I should say, was insane. And then I look at their Twitter accounts. I didn't respond to them because they've got about 15,000, 20,000 followers. They themselves don't have a following. So no one's reading your reporting. That's what that tells me. And the reality of it is when you're credentialing Jack Posobiec and others who have massive followings, that's the Pentagon trying to make sure that their messaging is being delivered to the American people. And so unfortunately for them, that doesn't seem to be the case. But I also learned something too, before we move on. I learned when I asked, will they have access to these remote press conferences now? Because that's what they're going to start doing. They're going to do more remote pressers. And they said, yeah, they could Zoom in. They could ask questions through Zoom. And they could also apply to get a day pass. So they could apply to go to the Pentagon for a day and covered for a day without signing the agreement. So they're not going to be losing access, although they want to do this dramatic photo op that we saw earlier. It's so over the top, but we look forward to being there in just a couple of days to cover what's going on. I also want to shift gears a little bit to a topic that you know and you've been actually talking about for quite often now. Congressman Corey Mills yesterday, there was an attempt to try to get him censored. That didn't work out too well. He is now going to be under investigation through the Ethics Committee. I've been reaching out for many, many months now, asking specifically and following up with Speaker Mike Johnson's office if they were going to launch an investigation into him. For a very long time, they were ignoring me. Just recently, they now tell me that they were just going to wait for all of his court matters, his legal matters to kind of fizzle out. And that's when they were going to kind of come up with whatever their opinion was on the subject matter. But there's a lot of different accusations floating around about the congressman, and now it looks like the Ethics Committee is stepping in on this. Do you have any type of hope that the Ethics Committee will be fair and balanced and give us a fair shake when it comes to Corey Mills?
I'm just going to be honest. I mean, the first thing you need to know about Congress investigating itself is that, that's not a good principle of justice.
Yeah.
So when Congress investigates itself or refers things to ethics, A lot of times these things get lost. They can get buried and they can just last for an eternity. In the House, you're only in there for 2 years. You're always running for office. So I do not have a hell of a lot of hope that they're going to do much on the congressional side. On the other hand, I believe in specifically Congressman Mills's case, there's just so much there. There's so many different stories. There's so many different angles. I mean, Nancy Mace is talking about stolen valor. There's also the fact he has an international arms company. He started with the woman he married in the Al-Qaeda mosque many years ago. People said he converted to Islam at the time. Multiple people that we had talked to when I was with Blaze. You know, he says he's not a Muslim now. He's a Catholic. He's Protestant. He's Christian. It's kind of, you know, both, he said. But the fact is, regardless of his religion, is he has this arms company, and then some of the girlfriends that the one accusing him of sextortion and threatening her with revealing photos and releasing them to anyone she tries to date after, you know, they broke up. That woman has said that he has repeatedly taken bags of cash, both delivered to his house and from people at his business. And when we published that article at Blaze, his lawyer reached out and said, look, he wasn't actually a director of the company at this time. He denied that any wrongdoing took place. But that would mean, if it's true that, you know, if what she says is true, that he was receiving bags of cash at the time that he had recused himself from his business. You know, and then he has problems paying the rent. I mean, I don't know where to start with this guy. He's going to Syria. He's visiting foreign leaders as a member of Congress. Well, he, you know, has his company in a blind trust. And when you add up, you know, the women's stuff, when you add up the business stuff, and then you start looking at the stolen valor stuff, there's just a lot about this guy that screams bloody murder, red flags all over the place. So I think that this is a case where the GOP is just acting under the rules of the past, much like you were talking about the FBI earlier, where they have to have stricter standards. They can't allow, you know, themselves to just police themselves with House ethics. They really need to take a closer look at people who appear to be really bad actors and clean house. And the reason they should do that is just out of self-interest. Yeah. You know, the American people in the base, they're not having trust the plan anymore. They really need to see that you're serious about reform.
Yeah. Yeah. No, they need to see these changes. And, you know, it's concerning because he's been on these really high up committee assignments, and someone who's accused of these allegations really should be investigated, and should have happened a very long time ago. Peterson, thank you for joining us today. Matt Peterson, we appreciate you being here, of course. Thank you for all the incredible work you do. We appreciate you joining us today and your insight on all of these issues. And folks, if you're not doing so, make sure you give him a follow on X. That is DOCMJP on Twitter. Give him a follow. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
All right, folks, we're digging into more stories, of course. We are going to be going into a lot of legal issues, but I wanted to tell you guys at least this story. Yesterday in the House, they did at least get something done that could be considered productive. The House passed a bill yesterday repealing cashless bail in D.C., and much of the law, which was passed by the city council back in 2022. So that is a massive, massive win. Again, folks, D.C. has been crime-ridden for a very long time. Most importantly, though, the judges, the liberal judges in D.C., the activist judges, have been doing their very best to just continuously release violent criminals back on the streets of D.C., and that is the reason why it's been an absolute cesspool. So finally, something kind of productive happening in Washington, D.C. yesterday. It doesn't affect the vast majority of Americans, but if you ever want to head over to the big capital, the good news is crime is down. Folks, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. We're giving away a free $10 on all orders, no minimum required. So head on over, fill up your cart right now over thealexjonesstore.com. It's a great way to start stocking up for the holidays. Make sure you get it over with and done with now. We are selling out on all of your favorite items, so now is a great time to get a head start on that. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. All right, we got more on the legal battles. James Comey, is he going to get away? Is the judge going to force the charges against him to be tossed out? I'll bring you the latest next.
Ladies and gentlemen, our ultramethylene blue is the best medical grade there is. It's so good for your body. We have nothing but rave reviews. It is so crazy good. But even if you buy it and don't like it, which we've had out of like 500 people I've given it to, three didn't have any effect. Every person on air I've given it to absolutely loves it. And it's so good for you. Super energy, within 30 minutes, no letdown, and you even sleep better on it. It's crazy. It's unbelievable. We have the best at TheOliveShieldStore.com. And we have all the other great products. I know our CMOS doesn't sound sexy, or Shilajit doesn't, or bovine colostrum. Whatever's the best, whatever's the highest rated, whatever absolutely delivers, that's what we sell. So take action now. The widest selection of Patriot apparel, a lot of limited edition shirts, ball caps, t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters are also there at TheOliveShieldStore.com. And even if the globalists shut down InfoWars, which they got a state receiver trying to do right now, we're fighting in court. Whatever. We got the Olive Shields Network that's owned by Big Leaf that I don't own, and the OliveShieldStore.com that I don't own. I'll just be the news director there. They can't shut that down. So you're keeping us on air at the same time getting incredible products. Folks, you are missing out. I'm not a hype man. They said the best salesmen sell good products. Well, I sell the best. Go to the OliveShieldStore.com right now because we have a sale running from now, Tuesday, November 18th, when I'm saying this live on air, until Monday, November 24th at midnight. Every order on top of all the other discounts that are there gets $10 at checkout. Just at checkout, when you hit checkout, $10 comes off. And that means if you're buying a ball cap or a t-shirt or a $20 bottle of probiotic that's excellent, it's crazy. For the next week only, add any of our amazing products to your cart and you'll get an additional 10% automatically applied at checkout. Best-selling products, ultramethylene blue, cleanest, strongest, medical grade, formula, bovine colostrum, the best, 2,000 milligram per scoop. Don't know about it? You should look into it. We got the best. Ultimate CMOS. Don't know about it? Look into it. We have the best. It's like 40 milligrams per serving of two gummies or the capsules. That's like a giant bowl of Irish CMOS. Talk about, you think spinach is good for Popeye? Well, this is like spinach to the infinity. Ultimate Life Force, Spike Protein, Cardiovascular Detox. Incredible. Everybody should be taking that. It's all there. Shilajit capsules, all there. And if you're a VIP, you sign up, $30 a month, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, special sales. So if you buy anything on the store, become a VIP. And if you're worried about stuff selling out, which stuff sometimes sells out for like 6 months. One time, sold out of the Irish CMOS 6 months. Because we have the highest standards, it's hard to get the ingredients. You sign up for AutoShip, they hold it back for you, and you get 50% off in the future order. You can cancel any time. So it's not much of a commitment when you become a VIP or a subscriber as you cancel any time. You just get all the benefits. But we know it's so good when you get it, you'll reorder. We have an 80%+ reorder on the methylene blue. Nobody has that.
Welcome to TheAlexJonesStore.com, the home of real solutions. Fuel your day with Ultimate Burn and Ultra Methylene Blue. Replenish and recharge with Ultimate CMOS or delicious Shilajit gummies. Stay sharp, stay stylish with our t-shirts and sweatshirts. Perfect for any season. Don't wait. Tap into real gear and real supplements at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Power up today.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at @RealAlexJones and at @AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're joining us. A lot of legal issues to dive into today. Robert Gouveia is going to be joining us in just a moment. He's a criminal defense attorney. He does an incredible job at breaking down all of these stories, and he'll be with us in just a moment. But in case you didn't see it yesterday, there's a lot going on. I want to make sure we brought this to your attention. It's looking kind of scary right now for the rest of us who want justice and want to make sure that the charges against James Comey stick. The ex-FBI director, of course, is trying his very best to shake those charges in federal court. And yesterday, it looked like it could possibly happen with the judge who was there yesterday. Obviously, as many of you guys know, he's being accused of lying to Congress and obstructing Congress as well. And yesterday in court, the judge really kind of grilled the prosecutors and forced them to kind of admit whether or not the grand jury reviewed the final two count indictment. Now, it sounds like that wasn't the case. And this could mean that James Comey might possibly get these charges dropped and move on. I'm not an attorney, though, so we're going to bring one in to discuss. Robert Gouveia joins us now. He's a criminal defense attorney. He does an incredible job at breaking down all of these stories on his YouTube page and also on X, so make sure you give him a follow. Robert, I want to thank you for being here. Yesterday when I saw the headline pop in, I was hoping it was fake news, so I wanted to make sure you came on the show today to break this all down for us. So what's going on right now with the Comey case?
Yeah, Brianna, thank you so much for having me. And you're right. Things are pretty tense out there. We had a precarious position, hearing yesterday where the judge was asking Lindsey Halligan's team, the U.S. attorney out there, what they did at the grand jury proceedings. And the headlines that you're seeing a lot of that will break down are that the prosecutors didn't show the grand jurors the actual indictment, the charging document. And this could be a big problem if they change the document. If the document was not actually approved by the grand jury, then the indictment is invalid and the indictment needs to get dismissed and thrown out. And so it really was a pretty technical argument that went down yesterday. But from the DOJ's perspective, from Lindsey Halligan, the Trump prosecutor, from her perspective, what went down is they presented the grand jury originally with three counts. So they walked in, they had a document, and there were three different charges on there. And two of them ultimately stuck. So they went to the grand jury. As we know, all this takes place in secret, and it's very hard to really understand what went down in there. So we're spending a lot of time trying to unpack that. But they went in, they said, hey, we've got these three counts. We think that James Comey is guilty of these things, and we want you to sign off on them. So the grand jury then didn't actually sign off on all three. They just signed off on two and three. So we go in, we have one, two, and three. They come out, they sign off on two and three. And essentially what happened was the DOJ, and they filed a notice explaining all of this, they came back and rewrote the document. So it just included counts two and three. In other words, they turned counts two and three into counts one and two. They didn't change anything else. It was all the exact same. And they brought that indictment, sort of like a second draft, because the first one got booted out. They brought that back in to the foreperson of the grand jury, but not the full grand jury. And so they said, hey, Mr. Foreperson, who's of course on the grand jury, can you sign off on this document, which is the actual charges? And he did, right? So then those get signed off on. Those become the charges that are filed. And right now there's a big battle over whether or not that's appropriate, really, right? Does the judge find ultimately after all this briefing takes place? And we don't have a decision on this yet. The judge said, DOJ, Lindsey Halligan, give us some more information. Same thing from Comey and his defense team. But what are the rules? What is ultimately required in order to have a valid grand jury indictment? And Halligan's people, they just submitted a notice. We had a difficult hearing yesterday, lots of headlines. You know, the grand jury didn't even see the indictment. Oh my goodness. It almost feels like the whole thing was made up. They did see it. They just had the foreperson sign off on the actual substantive document that didn't change at all other than just being a separate literal piece of paper. So is that valid? And Lindsey Halligan and her team, they submitted a new notice essentially explaining that we have case law that backs up that this alone is not sufficient enough to dismiss an indictment. Right? Grand juries and criminal charges are given sort of a presumption of regularity such that these minor mistakes, what we call harmless errors and things that are just kind of technical, maybe anomalies, not, you know, not how these things ordinarily happen, but they're not substantive enough to dismiss the entire indictment. I mean, we still had a grand jury, when you break it down substantively, say, yep, we looked at these two counts, these two charges. We think that there's enough cause there to indict him. And so the charges have come. And so now we're going to have this battle back and forth, whether, you know, the case law supports Lindsey Halligan's interpretation and whether they actually even needed to see this original document or if this is still valid. Of course, Comey has taken the opposite end of that, saying the grand jury needed to see everything before they could even sign off on it. Otherwise, the entire case should be dismissed. So things are tense, and that's just one attack vector that they're taking on that case. They're also trying to disqualify Lindsey Halligan. They're filing motions to dismiss based on vindictive prosecution, and there's a long list. So it's James Comey. They're pulling out all the stops, and they're really trying to make sure that they can get him off this case.
Yeah, I want to talk about Halligan a little bit because she's acting right now as U.S. attorney. And so that, I know, is a big thing for Comey right now. He's trying to get her thrown off for that because he doesn't think that she should be able to prosecute. I also don't think she has according to, and again, this is the media, this is the mainstream media that I've seen this in, that she's never been a prosecutor before. So I think that's also being called into question in all of this. Do you think that she's qualified to prosecute this case? And do you think that any of that will hold up in front of a fair judge?
Yeah, I certainly think that you don't have to be a prosecutor in order to be a prosecutor. If you're a lawyer, right, a lawyer can get up to speed as long as you have the belief that you can become competent in that area, then you can go and practice in that area. I'm not a contract lawyer, but if I got up to speed, I could go and, you know, practice some contract law if I wanted to. One license can give you access to all of the, you know, various fields of the law. Now, that being said, this is a pretty big one to come out on. It's like, you know, you're starting game is like the Super Bowl or something as your rookie season, and you come out there and you're just indicting James Comey. And Lindsay Halligan got put into, I think she's a very competent, very capable person, but she got put into a position at the last minute and was just kind of squeezed in there because the James Comey prosecution was about to expire. His original lies were back, you know, alleged lies were back in 2020. So the 5-year statute of limitations would have expired September, I think it was 30th, and she came in and indicted him September 25th. So she got put into this pressure cooker because the prior prosecutors wouldn't do anything with it. So they ultimately were relieved. And then she came in here, probably, you know, in a very chaotic environment, trying to scramble and put all this together before the clock expired. But they are fighting about her appointment. And we went through this with Jack Smith when Trump was being prosecuted. And the real issue is, what is the title, what is the label of this person? With Jack Smith, when he was prosecuting Trump, he was a special counsel. And of course, as we know, he was disqualified. He got thrown off the case by Judge Cannon in Florida because he was, she's found, not a legitimately appointed person. He wasn't, officially under the rules in the right position. And so he was illegally appointed and illegally appropriating money as well. So they threw him off. And so James Comey is trying to make essentially the same argument. Now, the difference between Jack Smith and Lindsay Halligan is that Lindsay is not being appointed as a special counsel. And Jack Smith, in order to put him in that position, they cobbled together all of these various statutes, and they called them the Reno regulations, and they say they gave them the power to appoint Jack Smith. But Lindsay Halligan is two things, really. Right now, she's an interim U.S. attorney, so it's a different label, interim versus special counsel. And then we also saw Pam Bondi came out and retroactively basically rubber stamped and validated her as a special attorney. So she's got these two different statutory bases for being the attorney right now. But the Comey team is saying that you cannot have, in other words, the executive branch cannot continue to successively appoint people as interim, right? Interim means temporary. You're there for 120 days. And then according to Comey, you got to go. And then the court can go, come in and appoint somebody else as the prosecutor. And so Lindsay is really picking up another 120-day term from the last guy. And so they're just saying that 120 days is basically invalid and she needs to go because she's not validly appointed. But there's also a lot of case law that says you can do that. And we've had in the DOJ in responding to this, they gave us a bunch of examples of U.S. attorneys who were appointed as an interim attorney repeatedly. 120 days come and expire, 120 days come and expire, and you just keep reappointing the person. So that's another issue that we're battling over. And, you know, the judge is going to make a decision on that. And of course, their position from the DOJ is that if she is disqualified, that again shouldn't be fatal to the indictment. Somebody else can come in and pick up that indictment, just like the prior argument. If the grand jury materials were not seen, it's still not fatal. So a lot of these things, you know, the judge, you know, in these cases, we have a concern that the judges will show their partisan bias towards the institutions and, you know, lean in favor of Comey. We certainly hope that doesn't happen, but there are openings, right? Each one of these attacks is an opening to give the judge justification to make a decision like that, should he choose.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to sit back and watch and to see where the judge goes on all of this. I also think it's interesting, too, that, you know, Comey's getting access to a lot of the sealed grand jury material, because I remember when J6ers were fighting for that and they were denied, as well as President Trump. So it seems to be like he's getting a little bit of a better shake than other individuals that were previously being prosecuted by the Department of, at the time, Injustice, what he's referred to all the time. So this will be interesting to see as it follows through. I kind of wanted to get your take on this as well, because obviously the Epstein files are heavy in the news cycle these days. Ultimately, though, the president last night did sign the bill, which is going to release those files. A lot of people are concerned because DOJ has the option of redacting a lot of pieces of information. I know that's a concern. We'll address that in a moment. But yesterday, the AG actually came out and said that she's handing all of this off to the SDNY, which our audience is very, very familiar with. I want you to take a listen to clip 15 and how she answered that.
The issue with the new information that you just indicated, is the department seeking information perhaps from the Epstein estate, because Mr. Blanche did not have that information when he interviewed Ghislaine Maxwell? What new information, and would you limit the new investigation to just those named persons that the president talked about, or is this a broad, open-ended investigation?
I would refer to the Deputy Attorney General's post that he put out on X, and we're not going to say anything else on that because now it is a pending investigation in the Southern District of New York. You're on point.
All right, so the American people obviously are concerned about that possibly. What do you make so far? Do you trust that a lot of the things that we want to see in the Epstein files will be released to us, and do you trust the SDNY?
I do not trust the SDNY at all. We've seen a lot of cases come through there, and in fact, Maureen Comey was one of the institutionalists there for a long time. FBI Director James Comey's daughter was there prosecuting Ghislaine and Jeffrey and Diddy, and we've seen a bunch of other just problematic prosecutions and civil cases brought out of that district. I think a lot of people call it one of the most, if not the most, problematic districts in the entire country, which is perfect for the Epstein saga. So, you know, I have my doubts about whether we're going to see anything really substantive on this. I know now we all are kind of recovering from whiplash on this story. We remember reading Pam Bondi's memo that was about 2 pages that said there was nothing else to investigate, nobody else to charge. Then all of a sudden we get a new investigation that's underway, which is very convenient because we've seen this tactic before, right? If it's an open, ongoing investigation, nobody can answer any questions about it, and it's just kind of stalled out indefinitely. And we saw that also combined with Mike Johnson coming out yesterday talking about this bill and how there apparently are a bunch of classified materials in this bill, which is strange if we thought that Epstein and Maxwell were just kind of common criminals and they weren't connected with intelligence agencies. Why do they have to, you know, classify, declassify all of these materials and then dictate what can be released to the public in the aftermath of this? But I think that there's a lot of options for the administration to not ultimately release everything if they don't want to. And I'm sure that there is a lot of juicy stuff in there that we're not going to see. But I am happy, in other words, that we're getting some progress on this. And we saw yesterday that the Democrats, I think, maybe have bit off more than they can chew on this whole saga. They wanted these files out. And then we turn around and we find that Stacey Plaskett from the Virgin Islands is texting with Jeffrey Epstein on the floor of the House during a congressional hearing, or Hakeem Jeffries is calling himself the Brooklyn Obama and sending emails over to Epstein after he has been convicted to have dinner with him and raise money from him. So I think that the demands to release these records are, you know, maybe going to be more than they wish and bargained for, but we're happy that we're seeing some progress on this conversation regardless.
Yeah, no, we are happy about that at least, and that President Trump has signed this, and it's officially a done deal now, so you won't hear people in Congress kind of calling on him to do just that, so I think that's good. But again, it's just so concerning about now that this investigation is obviously open, what they'll do. I mean, I know when I submit a FOIA request, a Freedom of Information Act request, I'm constantly being slapped down by the FBI and DOJ because they keep investigations open for a very long time. They don't have to give you over the documents that you need to see. And so I know the games that they play, and it's not a good one. So we'll keep our eyes on that as it unravels. But I also want to get your take on this. This is very controversial. Obviously, the Congress passing the CR, ending the government shutdown. But those in the Senate snuck in a very, very key point where they wanted to make sure that they had some type of leverage in court so they could sue the government for $500,000 regarding Arctic Frost. Now, several, at about nine, we're learning more and more
every day, but 9 so far we know of. Senators had their phone records handed over to the special prosecutor's office, and they didn't know about this. And so I know a lot of them are looking to now possibly sue. I've been told, though, Senator Tommy Tuberville was not involved in any of this, and this was not something that he advocated for, but they did sneak this provision in. And Lindsey Graham now saying, coming out, saying that he was looking forward to going after the government and suing them for this, but which is also funny because he did actually support the Patriot Act as well. So it's okay to spy on us, but not on Lindsey Graham. But we are getting a little bit more of a inside look in all of this. And now it looks like the House unanimously voted to move to claw back that provision that was in the bill. And it's possibly going to be making its move around. What do you make of this as an attorney? Because I don't understand why they would even have needed this specific provision and why they'd even come to the amount of $500,000 up to $500,000. Like, what's the legal works in all of this?
Yeah, I think that they were just trying to shortcut some of the process. I think that certainly they can sue the government. Anybody can go sue the government. You can say that the prosecution violated my rights. Jack Smith spied on my phone records. These are, you know, privacy violations. Sue for civil damages. The issue, I think, is that Jack Smith and the prosecution is going to come back and they're going to say that we have qualified immunity. You know, we have some sort of protection against these civil suits because we were just doing our job. We were just prosecuting and following the facts. And in other words, you'll find juries, you'll find judges that will enable that and endorse that and then make getting a remedy from these senators very difficult. So I think they just wanted to kind of sneak something in there so that they could short circuit that entire process and go just get damages paid out to them. And I understand it. I get why they put that in there. And they're as mad as we've ever seen them. I mean, a lot of Americans got spied on. A lot of J6ers' rights got violated. A lot of Trump campaign aides got spied on and had their rights violated. But the senators weren't too upset about it until it was really on them. But I think the remedy, the mechanism that they're trying to use here leaves a little sour taste in people's mouths because the people, the American people are going to be paying that $500,000 settlement if their claims are successful, right? They're coming and suing the government. I would be more happy personally if, you know, Jack Smith had to pay that or some of his goons had to tap into their savings accounts and come out of pocket for that. But you would have to sue them and, you know, breach their qualified immunity without this special provision. And so the House, I can understand why they're very unhappy about this. To me, it feels like a little bit of a rivalry between the House and the Senate. Senate put something in for them that doesn't protect the House representatives, and so they're a little irritated about that. But ultimately, I want more than just monetary damages. I think that these people have committed crimes, and I think Comey's just the first domino in a long list of other people that have been in this institution of weaponization for multiple election cycles. And so ultimately, you know, we would like to see prosecutions. We would like to see people have to answer for their crimes in court and not just have, you know, a little bit of a settlement for the senators. But at the same time, you know, we also are people who are demanding that Congress does something to address this weaponization. So the fact that they are at least thinking about it and putting stuff in there, I thought, okay, that's, you know, at least a step in the right direction, even if the remedy is not exactly something that's palpable for a lot of people. So we'll see what happens when it comes back to the Senate and if they vote on that. But there were, I think, 8 of them that were very unhappy about it. Blackburn, Tuberville, Graham, Ted Cruz got a subpoena, but doesn't look like they got their record. So there is a real problem here. I just don't know that the $500,000 settlement is the solution.
Yeah, and we had Tuberville on a couple of, I think probably 2 weeks ago, and he did say that he was actually going to go after Jack Smith and try to get him disbarred for what he did. And we look forward to those efforts. But I think that's the best way to go about this is so that future lawyers understand that I don't care what title they give you, you can't do these things because they were illegally surveilling so many Americans. And civil penalties really just don't mean anything to them. It's the government issuing that money. It's taxpayer money. And so this really isn't a slap on the wrist for them. So we look forward to keeping our audience in the know on that one. I want to get your take on this, though, because this did actually happen earlier in the week. And I was very curious to see if there was going to be anything done about this. But, you know, Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna came out and was calling out both Bill and Hillary Clinton because they refused to appear before the House Oversight Committee. This was in regards to deposition, again, related to Jeffrey Epstein. They did not appear for this. Are there any type of legal ramifications for not appearing in front of a deposition? Or does there have to be an official subpoena issued here?
Well, there was an official subpoena issued to Bill and Hillary Clinton. So we read through those. Those came out from James Comer and the Oversight Committee. They got formal subpoenas. They subpoenaed a bunch of people, Eric Holder, Bill Barr, all of them officially received those. and have still refused to come. And apparently some of this was being negotiated. So Bill and Hillary were the final people to show up on the list. And I think it was like middle of October. So October 15th, I think, was Hillary. And then Bill came in last in a long sequence. And other people have shown up. Bill Barr showed up for these subpoenas and had a deposition in front of Congress. But the Clintons did not show up. And since they got an official subpoena, I know you covered it. We've talked a lot about it, but other people have gone to prison for ignoring congressional subpoenas. Steve Bannon and Peter Navarro and others have gone to prison for 4 months. And so if they do not respond, Bill and Hillary, Comer had a clip yesterday. He was on, I think, with our friends at Just the News, and he was saying that they will move for an official referral. And we remember the process last time was the J6 committee issued the subpoenas, and we've always said that committee was completely illegally constituted under their own rules. So those subpoenas were invalid from the get-go, but the courts, you know, didn't buy those arguments and said, you got to show up. Bannon and Navarro, they exercised their privilege. They said, we don't have to comply with these subpoenas. We don't have to talk about these issues because we were working for the executive branch. And they still were held in contempt of Congress. And then they made the criminal referral over to the DOJ. And man, they went and got Peter Navarro. They put him in leg irons. The guy's like in his 70s. They got him on a airport tarmac, essentially, and dragged him into custody. So if the law is that and the precedent has been established and no one is above the law, then Hillary and Bill, I don't know what privileges that they're going to claim that are going to override a congressional subpoena. And a lot of this has already been litigated. The courts have said, well, Congress is its own body. So the courts aren't going to come in and interfere with congressional subpoenas because they say it's a separation of powers problem. So if they want to issue a subpoena, you got to go take it up with them. And we saw people go to prison for that. So if Bill and Hillary don't, Comer has said that he's going to pass this off to Pam Bondi, and we'll see if she ultimately brings an indictment on that or presents it to a grand jury. But we don't see any reason why Bill and Hillary can't even share a cell together. You know, it'll be very nice for them and their marriage.
Yeah, yeah. Or maybe if Bill takes a plea agreement, maybe the plea agreement could include not having to share a cell with Hillary. I'm sure he'll love that these days. Robert, I want to thank you for all the incredible work you do. You do a great job on X. And so I tell our audience to go head on over there to give you a follow right now, because you break down all of these headlines and all of these court filings and missteps and everything going on. So if you're looking to, you know, gain a little bit of insight on the legal battles up ahead, make sure you head on over and do just that. Robert, thank you. We appreciate your time as always.
Thank you, Brian. I really appreciate it.
All right, folks. We're going to be taking your calls in the next segment. So you're going to want to give me a ring, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. If there's a topic that we've discussed so far on the show, a news topic, and you want to add your insight, give us a call, 877-789-2539. We'll be taking your calls in the next hour. In the meantime, though, if you haven't done it already, I don't know what you're waiting on, but head on over right now to the Alex, well, hold on, there's no the there. It's alexjonesapp.com, alexjonesapp.com. Download the app. It's how you stay in touch with us. Whenever that front door locks, we're going to start off that new venture, and this is how you stay in touch with us, so make sure you do just that. Also, if you haven't done so already, I don't know what you're waiting on as well, because right now we're giving you a free $10. If you head on over to the alexjonesstore.com right now, you're going to get a free $10, no promo code needed for this, of course. When you fill up your cart, it's just going to apply at the end to your order. You're also going to enter in to win a free Jeep and maybe possibly $10,000 in cash. So head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. And you can also join the Hat Club. It's the Alex Jones Hat Club. When you subscribe for $30 a month, you're going to get exclusive access to hats that aren't sold at the alexjonesstore.com. So head on over right now and make sure you sign up. There's actually some pretty awesome deals that you're going to want to indulge in. We'll be back with much more to cover in just a few moments.
We have a sale going until Friday evening at midnight, where you get $10 off at checkout. No promo code, just $10 taken off on top of all the sales. And you get a free Patriot flag randomly. There's four flags we have left in stock. They're ordering more. Gas and flags, you name it. Get a free flag. But the real reason you want to go there is because the supplements are so incredible. And we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, t-shirts, all of it. But the Ultra Methylene Blue, you're crazy if you don't get it. We have the best. It is such a game changer. Huge pick-me-up with no letdown. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. This is not hype. You are really missing out if you don't go to the alexjonesstore.com and get ultraviolet blue, the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit. We have all the best. Oh, yeah, creatine came in. We have the highest quality creatine. A lot of just basic staples are there. The very strongest, best turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Great natural fat burner. Also makes you feel great. Ultimate burn. You want beef tallow? We got beef tallow balm. People love it. It's all there. Osmo Human. Wow, the best, strongest green drink out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for all your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And when you have the free Droid or Apple app at AlexJonesApp.com and you buy through the shopping cart there, additional 20% off and everything on top of that. That's insane.
Happy Thanksgiving from the InfoWars crew. Turkey stuffing and some methylene blue. Pumpkin pie with a dash of whipped cream. Defeating the globalist is our number one dream. TheAlexJonesStore.com for your gifts. Fight Bill Gates, Fauci, and Shifty Schiff. Thanks for your support all through the years. Happy Thanksgiving and holiday cheers.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all joining us. A lot going on over here. We'll be taking your calls for the next segment. So give us a call, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539. If you got something you want to talk about regarding the topics we've discussed thus far, we're taking your calls, of course, in the next hour. All right. And we're also going to be joined by the redheaded libertarian as well. Josie will be joining the show too, because she's got a lot to talk about as well. So we look forward to that in the final hour of the show. But a lot happening. We're excited that you're all with us. Did you guys see this Rolling Stone tweet? I'm going to bring this up for you guys, because it's kind of crazy that the Rolling Stone, instead of, you know, everyone just being like, wow, this is great that Nicki Minaj is speaking out against Christians being slaughtered in Nigeria, the Rolling Stone has a different take to it, and they decided to push this one out. Nicki Minaj spreads misleading information at the United Nations. Poor Nicki Minaj. She just wanted to save Christian lives, and now she's about to get bashed by these hacks, these absolute hacks who are just disgusting human beings. Nicki Minaj going out there, and of course their lead on this is her thanking President Trump for bringing attention to the issue. And they're not happy about that. So they're attacking her for her four-minute speech that she gave to protect Christians in Nigeria. Now, they're not happy, of course. Everyone knows that the Rolling Stone is not an authentic source these days, but they're just keeping going after her just for saying things like that this is an extremist threat, that this is something that is really going after these people, that find the exact quote that they give you. They're trying to say that it's not an actual real threat in regards to Christians who have been, quote, persecuted and murdered by radical Islamists. That's what President Trump has been tweeting out. And they're saying that none of this is real. And then, of course, if you're trying to spin something, you would quote Al Jazeera, the outlet that's obviously paid for and being pushed by the Islamic terrorists themselves. These massive, massive, I mean, just insane. I remember reading a bunch of stories about how this outlet was like literally funded by very questionable characters. And of course, they're using that and citing this as their source in this Rolling Stone article. Poor Nicki Minaj, all she wanted to do was go out there and protect Christians and save them. And as a result, they are trying their best to debunk what she said. She actually didn't even say anything controversial. She just said, I would like to thank the president for prioritizing this issue and for his leadership on a global stage and calling for the urgent action to defend Christians in Nigeria. That's controversial these days, actually. You can't defend Christians without being attacked. Also, isn't it strange how Nicki Minaj has been more vocal on this issue than most even pastors? Yeah, it really, really is. Nicki Minaj being one of the front runners in all of this. And it's good that she's bringing attention to the issue because, again, there's a lot of disinformation out there and it comes from those who are looking to continue this genocide. And those in the media, I mean, they'll just slap down anything, go after anything the president does, of course. Speaking of that, too, there was a federal judge that just recently intervened and prevented the president of the United States from repainting and power washing. It's so crazy.
It's so crazy. The Eisenhower Executive Office Building. Now this happened. According to the D.C. Preservation League, they were the ones who brought on this suit, it looks like, and other preservation groups as well. They pushed back and didn't want President Trump to power wash the building. I mean, it's so crazy. They'll just push back on anything. And obviously, the federal judge then ruling in their favor for now, obviously, that's not going to be upheld. That's going to be a long legal battle. But just figured we'd keep telling you about these rogue federal judges who always seem to pop up and to do this nonsense. Yeah, no surprise at all. No surprise at all. So we'll be taking your calls. If you haven't done so already, give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. There's a story that we talked about on this show. We want to hear from you, so give us a call. And I'll also be playing this great soundbite from my good friend Congressman Tim Barchett, because he's been doing a great job at attacking those at insider trading. And it's so insane. But members of Congress are still trying to do their very best to trade. And he's the only one who's like, one of the very few, I should say, who's going out there and saying, no, we shouldn't be able to do this. So more on the other side. Don't go anywhere. We've got more to discuss.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right. You heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down. And now here we are dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
All right, welcome back to the American Journal. You are looking at Dick Cheney's funeral services right now. As you can see, Joe Biden shuffling in, as well as Kamala Harris, as well as George W. Bush also present. I believe that is Mitch McConnell as well there with his wife. So a lot of people there. I don't believe President Trump will be present. It's not on his schedule for today, but we figured we'd give you a quick look as to who is front and center at Dick Cheney's funeral services, which are expected to begin in just a few moments. So again, looks like a full roster. Oh, Mike Pence. Of everyone we don't like. Folks, I wanted to shift your attention over to Congressman Tim Barchett, because he's one of the very, very few who give it to you straight. And so we love to talk about him and to have him on this program, of course. But I want to play you clip 12, because he's going after insider trading again, and he's not done talking about it. He's had enough, and he wants it done. He wants it banned. He doesn't want you guys in Congress to be able to stock trade. Take a listen to clip 12 and how he sounds off on the issue, because it's quite the good laugh you'll get.
Committee for taking this up, because I realize what we're up against. I mean, this is, you know, everybody talks about this place being a dadgum swamp. It's not a swamp. A swamp is something cool God created. It filters water. Animal life lives and flourishes around it. This is a sewer. This is created by man, and it needs to stop. We've, you know, for years, Congress has been using hardworking American taxpayers' money to get rich. Dadgum, it's got to stop. America knows what the heck's going on. Everybody wants to knock Pelosi. Heck, she's not even in the top 10. Get on that unusual whale site. This is pathetic, folks. We all know what's going on. Congress knows what the hell's going on, and it needs to stop. This body has been enriching itself on the taxpayers' dime for too dadgum long, and it's got to stop. This place is crooked and is as crooked as a dog's leg. That's an old East Tennessee saying, but it's the truth, and it needs to stop.
It needs to stop, and it's good that he's speaking on this issue, of course, because this is an issue that we have been advocating for quite some time, and there's a very limited group of people who are also backing just that. Folks, we're going to be taking your calls in just about 2 minutes, so give us a call, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539 for the next
I'll say 18 minutes. We'll be taking your calls, of course. So give us a call if there's something you want us to discuss. Okay, so I want to turn to this story. So this is really interesting. This story, this is corny, but I came up with this morning, is out of this world. A woman has pled guilty to falsely claiming her astronaut ex committed crime in outer space. A woman has pled guilty to falsely reporting that her spouse, or falsely accusing her ex-wife, committed a crime while deployed in the International Space Station. Summer Wooden, 50 years old, told law enforcement in July of 2019 that her former spouse had illegally accessed her bank account earlier that year while she was in space. That's according to the DOJ. Well, her wife, previously identified as Anne McLean, was obviously out there back in 2018, 2019 when these allegations first came about. And an investigation found that Wooden had opened the bank account in April of 2018 and that both of them had access until about January 2019. While she's now pled guilty, the investigation also found that Warder regularly gave McLean access to her bank account, and so this was not true. So again, she's denied these allegations on social media and said this wasn't true, and now got caught. So has pled guilty to these crimes. She's now facing 5 years, at least 5 years in prison, and a maximum of about $250,000 in penalties. I just thought that was so interesting. Probably the outer space angle to all of this. All right, let's start taking your calls, folks. If you haven't given us a call, make sure you do. We'll be taking your calls for about 18 minutes now. So give us a call, 877-789-2539. Let's go to Dave in Louisiana right now with our first caller of the show. Dave, what's on your mind? David. We're still screening. Okay. So we'll have David on in just a second, folks. Let's keep talking, though, about the other stories. And just a little bit, too, as well, we have the redheaded libertarian on the show. We're going to be discussing a couple of other things. We're going to be discussing this story that's, it's a little graphic, I guess, the photos itself. But ultimately, there is a former New Jersey GOP aide who is being accused of allegedly paying a fetish artist to mutilate her body. Yeah, that's true. This is what they're alleging, of course. These are the claims that are making. It's quite a disturbing one. But apparently, she's claiming that this individual wrote Trump whore on her stomach. Federal prosecutors said that this was a stage political stunt and nothing more. That's what's happening right now. Natalie Green is her name, and she's facing these allegations right now out of the District of New Jersey. Apparently, these are the images that we're seeing, these hospital photos that were taken. Apparently, she paid, this is what they're accusing her of, she paid a body modification artist $500 to deliberately carve these gruesome wounds into her face, neck, and shoulders. I think this highlights, if true, this highlights that there's a serious mental health issue in this country, especially with young women these days, because this is just insane. 2 days after the alleged phony assault, according to the DOJ, Green drove to Pennsylvania and paid this individual that she found on Instagram $500 to deliberately carve all of this in. It's just gross. So apparently they're outlining that this was paid for $500. And apparently it was just, they found her in ties too, which is so strange. So strange. Again, we're going to talk about this in just a few moments with the redheaded libertarian in just a moment. But again, there seems to be a lot of issues here in all of this. And so it's just deeply concerning, deeply, deeply concerning. According to reports, she joined the congressman's office, which I believe is Van. Let me just make sure before I said the name, finding in the article. She was a congressional aide for quite some time. I'm looking for that name. I'm sorry, folks. Van Drew over in New Jersey. It's just so strange. She was arraigned yesterday in federal court and was released on a $200,000 unsecured bond. She could face potentially about a decade in prison if convicted. So we'll talk about that story more in depth. I don't know what's going on with this world today. I truly, truly do not know what's going on in this world today. All right, folks, we're going to keep taking your calls, so give us a call, 877-789-2539. Let's turn to the first one up. I believe we have Wild from Wisconsin available.
Obviously, Epstein documents. I think it's good that...
Hi, Wild. How are you? You're on with us now. How's everything going? We're excited to have you back on the show.
Oh, can you hear me, Brianna?
I can. How are you?
Well, I'm doing good. Sorry. So I had two things I wanted to talk to you about. The first one, I was wondering your opinion. I know it's kind of nerdy, but like, you remember that asteroid 3 IA Atlas?
No.
That just flew by?
It's a what?
Still flying by. It's like this big asteroid that's from another galaxy flying through. It's all viral on Twitter. We haven't gotten one good video or picture of it, even though we have the Hubble and the James Webb telescope and AI and all these sensors and stuff. You can pick up like someone's license plate from space, but we can't get a clear picture of this thing. But I thought it was weird that immediately after it flew behind the sun opposite of the Earth, so it was like the asteroid was on one side, then the sun, and then directly opposite was the Earth, we get all these crazy solar flares and aurora borealis is, or aurora borealis. And why it matters, you know, it's not just like funny lights in the sky, but like cosmic radiation that then gets flung into the Earth and onto us is one of the only things that changes DNA. You know, obviously there's other things like, you know, the COVID vaccine and, you know, military weapons that change your DNA, but cosmic radiation can like permanently change people's DNA. And like, I've noticed that people have been acting weird more than usual, not only after COVID, but like when the sun picks up or during full moons, people act strange. So I definitely think that was really weird, all those aurora borealis we had. I don't know the plural for it, but did you see that?
I didn't. You just gave me a project, though. That means I'm going to have to do this afterwards and read into this because I did not know this. I mean, people have been acting strange. I figured
and
it was just the water.
Women are more, I think, in tune with all that, you know, personally is my opinion with that type of energies and stuff. And then the second thing I wanted to bring up is with the Epstein documents released and Trump allowing it to be released, it's like a signifier of like, I think we're going to find out, you know, like indeed Alex Jones was right and like Pizzagate is real. You know, obviously they're doing these child sex slave rings and stuff, and they're not only doing that, I think they're doing organ harvesting and cannibalism and snuff films and human safaris and all that horrible stuff. So it kind of makes sense to me that Trump would like not want to poke that bear or not want to like mess with that some crazy, insane death cult, because like I'm sure they have assassins and henchmen. So it's kind of masterful that Trump has been able to like release this, sign off on it, but it's like, hey, my hands are clean of it. I'm not trying to get involved. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, it does. I mean, we know the organ harvesting stuff is real. I know that for a fact. I mean, we covered a couple of stories on this show too. I think also too, there was a human, I didn't want to read it because I just, it was so depressing, but there was that human, there's a story about back in the 90s when they were doing the human safari. I think it was in Europe. I'm not mistaken. I think I saw that headline.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think we're going to learn more and more that it's a lot of these things sadly are still occurring. I mean, we talked about that woman in who they just retrieved in Mexico, who is doing organ harvesting and you know, going after pregnant women and doing it to them and then taking their babies. And so, yeah, there's a lot to it. We're learning more. Everything that was a conspiracy is real. Just I automatically assume. Here you go. This is the story I was referring to. The Milan investigators. The 1990 trips where terrorists were allegedly paid to kill civilians. It's insane. I don't know if I can handle all these dark stories, though. You know, like you want to get to the truth and you're just like, how do people like do these things? The level of evil is just completely off the charts. Wild, it's always good to hear from you. So I want to thank you for joining us. Of course, it's good to hear from you. I want to turn to James in Texas. James, welcome to the show.
Oh, hello, Brianna.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing amazing. So, so I just wanted to let people know that there's a number for American Congress you can call. It's 1-202-224-3121. And every person that calls, unless their voice is heard, they assume that 20,000 people roughly that have that same opinion. And if we really want stuff to get changed, we need to get them to repeal some of the laws that were written.
like the active.
James, what's that number specifically for? What office is that for? Just so I know.
For American Congress.
So the whole congressional office. Okay.
It's a congressional office. It'll take you to the Senate or Congress.
Got it.
So it's a secretary. And it's 212-224-3121. And you'll be surprised at how effective it is. Mm-hmm. And if we can get the people who are concerned about us saving our constitutional republic to make their voices heard and not just sit around on their thumbs and think that other people are going to do this stuff for them. You know, we have to let the swamp know, or let the sewer know that, you know, we're going to come in, and if they don't get themselves straight, we're going to come in and do it ourselves.
Yeah.
Not as a threat, but, you know, we have that ability. It's in the Constitution. And I find it very disheartening how many people are walking around like zombies. Don't have a clue what kind of evil they're up against. And the reason why they're attacking Christians and putting all that stuff down is because that's the one religion that they always go against because it has their number. And just also for, we need to take away that law that gives these foreign WEF and all those other body immunity, because if we can get those laws off the books, then we can actually start going after, make the government go after them.
Yeah, no, I'm all on board. You've sold me. I mean, everyone should call. I think we have to sound off on these issues. We need to know that people are interested in what's going on in Congress and are demanding more from Congress, especially because we're, you know, about to be around midterms. And so this is the time. James, thanks for calling, giving our audience that number and reminding them that their voice actually does matter and it actually does lead to change when you do call and you do have these productive conversations, because we greatly appreciate that, of course. I think that's really, really, really important. Let's turn to Chase in Houston. Chase, welcome to the show.
Hi, Brianna. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Though this is kind of just like a tip that I thought of because of this story about the GOP aide who paid someone to mutilate her.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. There's another thing, and again, this is allegedly. It's just something that I see sometimes, like leftists will, every so often I will see this on Twitter, that Jack Posobiec once showed up to a leftist protest carrying a Rape Melania sign in, like, an attempt to, like, you know, like, make leftists look bad. And some text messages also had leaked where he was, like, coordinating with someone. Now, I don't know if these are true or, like, they're real text messages, but there's a text message thread, supposed, of Jack Posobiec planning his little stunt, some stunt where he shows up and carries around a Rape Melania sign and they chant all this anti-Trump stuff, trying to make leftists repeat what they're saying and trying to make them look bad or whatever. And it just kind of reminded me of that story when I saw this story about the girl, it reminded me of that. And I wanted to just put that out there for you guys to look into it, you know, and see if that's like real or whatever. Cause I know sometimes Jack is on your show and stuff. And if he's,
I don't know. I haven't seen any of the photos, to be honest with you, of Jack Posobiec doing that. Let's see. We're looking it up. We're trying to pull it up as quickly as we can right now. I haven't seen, it says a protester.
The pictures that they share around are of a protest, and you'll see a protester carrying a Rape Melania sign. And they allege that that is Jack Posobiec.
Who made that allegation? I'm trying to look for it, Mr. Let me see.
If you type in on Twitter, if you just type in, like, Jack Posobiec, Rape Melania, you'll find various different people that have posted about it. It's just something that I see, like, people posting in comment threads and stuff. I've never seen anybody talk about it, like, or acknowledge, like, say, is this real? Is this not real? Is it, like, what is this? Did that happen?
Yeah, I got to ask Posobiec. I mean, I haven't had him on the show. I think he's on air at the same time as us. But yeah, I could ask him because I've never seen it. So I was like, wait, what is this? And they're quickly looking online to see if they could find it. I'll ask him because I don't mind asking him. He's been a good friend, and so we could definitely ask him about that. Yeah, I had no idea. Thank you for bringing that to my attention because I didn't know that. Chase, thank you so much. Let's turn to Charles in Georgia. Charles, welcome to the show. We appreciate you calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Brianna. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good, good. Hey, overall, in listening to Alex, I'm up in years a little bit, retired now. I've listened to him for 25 years, and for the great amount of knowledge he's put out, you know, you could have 5 or 6 master's degrees in a number of subjects after having learned. But I'll say one thing. Overall, when you look at how the world of societies are structured, be it in free countries or communist countries, the leaderships and the corporate structures seem to be the top of the pyramid under which the masses support. And the masses are already always getting the raw end of the deal, primarily in my mind, because of a lack of education or information on how the system is set up to work against them. So we supply the workforce, the energy, or labor, our finances, but it rarely comes back to help us in our lives. That's number one thing I'll say. I got 2 more quick things. Unfortunately, maybe one thing. Unfortunately, in the 85 to 86, when I was at a university in Ohio, I won't call it out, prominent university, in an arts class of which I took to get an arts degree. I'm a photographer, website designer, graphic artist now. A liberal professor showed us in the course of our training a snuff film. And to this day, the image has haunted me because whenever I think about it, knowing what I know about how films are made, it was a real film, unfortunately, showing a young child, maybe 5, 6, 7, 8, tied to a bed and different things done, hurtfully to her body, and then at the end of it, she was executed. Now, again, having studied film and history all my life, I understand that there's nothing that a human being will not do. The sad thing is, though, there was an industry back, it probably still is, but it was out so much in those days, in the 85s, that even a college professor was willing to show that to his students. So many of us saw that film. And so this has been going on forever. Until people get educated on how foul evil could be. Oh, and the last thing in 10 seconds. It's not about left, right, Democrats, or Republicans. The main thing in life about it is a process or motive towards the good or for the evil or for the good. So if we just break things down in those two parts, is what you're doing an asset to my life, to my health, to my well-being, or is it not? And if we debated that in the halls of Congress or in our council meetings in our cities, that would be the easiest way to get to the to see whether all these efforts and words and legislation and vibrations are doing anything to help us. But we do not deal with the word and the concept of good and evil. Until we do that, we're being downgraded to this ping pong of, oh, is it black and white or is it that's the issue. We've been sidetracked. And language and definitions is so strategically important.
Yeah.
You know that concept of the 4 blind men holding an elephant, and they see different things. They sense, perceive different things. But we have to come back to a society where the population is not dumbed down. And one of the things we need to do is insist on defining our terms and words so that we both agree that we're talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And only at that time can we then say, no, I don't want that. Well, I do want that. So I could go on and on. I'll write a book eventually.
Well, we got a hard commercial break coming up right now. So, you know, it's going to cut you off. But, Charles, I want to thank you for calling to the show today. And thank you for being a listener, obviously, of Alex. Is, you know, child trafficking is something that we are passionate about over here. And creating more awareness on these issues is very, very critical. Exposing the evil around the world is what we look forward to doing every day, because folks are just too afraid to do just that, but we are. And so thank you, Charles, for calling in. Folks, thank you for everyone who called in. Sorry we only have 20 minutes today to take calls. We usually try to go a little longer. Possibly we'll take calls tomorrow on tomorrow's show, so we look forward to that. In the meantime, though, I'll be joined in just a few moments by the redheaded libertarian. She's got a lot to sound off on, so we look forward to that. In the meantime, though, make sure you download the app. Head on over, alexjonesapp.com, and make sure you stay in touch with us by downloading it today. Got a lot more discussion in a few moments. Don't go anywhere.
The incredibly positive health effects of methylene blue are well documented. RFK Jr. has promoted it. He takes it daily. But I got to tell you, I had taken it 7 years ago when my medical doctor recommended it. He said, just get a USP brand that means medical grade. And I bought it on Amazon. Had almost no effect. But when our sponsor, Bigly, at thealexjonesstore.com, came out with theirs 8 months ago, made in Florida by a literal laboratory, it blew me away and changed my life. The clarity, the focus, the energy with no letdown has been insane. And in the last 8 months, you've seen everybody from Roseanne Barr to you name it, take the product and just have absolutely insane clarity and energy effects generally in about 30 minutes. That's incredible. But everybody that I know that's taken it, that I've checked back with, has long-term effects in the first few weeks and months that just build up. Better workouts, better clarity, better sleep, better focus. It's simply insane. Experience what Patrick Byrne experienced. Experience what Stuart Rhodes experienced. Experience what all these other individuals experienced when they took this incredible product in capsules and the liquid at thealexjonesstore.com. And then when you experience it, tell your friends and family about it and tell them about the broadcast, so they don't just get this great product and the great effects, they also find the truth. This is a 360 win for everyone.
I can feel a definite, like an energy spike. Feels pretty good.
That is what it feels like. My brain's going really fast.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
Yeah!
You better start drinking that methylene blue, son.
But it's not just our in-studio guests that have taken it and been blown away, all of them. It's the callers. It's the listeners. It's a mailman from Rhode Island. Here's just a small sampling of the testimonials of our callers and listeners when they took Ultramethylene Blue.
I have shared the Methylene Blue with my crew, and everybody has really noticed the effect.
I was in a wheelchair. That Methylene Blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it.
This is the best product guys have ever had.
I feel like I'm 25.
Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
We only sell supplements that are documented to absolutely blow people away, because we want you to have a great effect so you come back and get it again and again. And it's so good for you. So experience what our guests, our families, our friends have experienced themselves by getting Ultramethylene Blue in capsules and in tincture discounted right now at thealexjonesstore.com. Take action. Defend the Republic. Defend the First Amendment. Defend the info war, and empower your body, empower your health, and empower your life. We are live, still on air. Despite all the admissions of the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, hundreds of millions of dollars spent trying to shut us down. But despite that, because you, the activist audience in the arena, stood with us with your word of mouth, your prayer, and your financial support, we have not only persevered, we have not only overcome, but we have dominated.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com today.
The spirit of victory lives in InfoWars. And InfoWars is more than a URL. It is more than this building. It is the people of America and the world becoming awake and standing up and rising and demanding liberty and freedom in the animating contest in the war against the tyrants.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We are in the final lap of the Thursday edition of the show. We're excited that you're all joining us. And with our next guest, she's got a lot that she's ready to sound off on. The redheaded libertarian will join us in just a moment. I wanted to play this clip for you guys because Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is a fighter. She's been a MAGA fighter for years now. And it was kind of upsetting to see the president go out there on Truth Social and go after her, because we all know that, yes, we could have some type of disagreements, but she's been on the right side of a lot, and she's been an advocate for the president for far, we'll just say for a very long time. I believe it's been over 6 years is how she was outlining it. But this soundbite that we're going to play for you, soundbite, it's going to be clip 16, it's a little upsetting to hear, because all she was trying to do was advocate for the Epstein victims, and although those on the left were trying to make this a political issue, she just wanted to have justice for those who were sexually assaulted by Jeffrey Epstein and those elitists who were also there on the island as well. Listen to clip 16, because she has a message for the president.
I was called a traitor by a man that I fought for 6 years for. And I gave him my loyalty for free. I won my first election without his endorsement, beating 8 men in a primary. And I've never owed him anything, but I fought for him for the policies and for America first. And he called me a traitor for standing with these women and refusing to take my name off the discharge petition. Let me tell you what a traitor is. A traitor is an American that serves foreign countries and themselves. A patriot is an American that serves the United States of America and Americans like the women standing behind me.
Joining us now to discuss is Josie, the redheaded libertarian. She is one of the incredible hosts over at TimCast. And you can also support her work over at castbrew.com as well. It's an honor to have her on the show. Josie, I have to say these last few days for me have been kind of sad to sit back and watch. We've watched the attacks on both MTG, who is a fighter for the MAGA movement. She's been doing that for quite some time now and has taken a lot of personal attacks as well as professional attacks. And then Congressman Thomas Massey, also someone being attacked. And they side with us on the vast majority of issues. But for some reason, people were so quick to turn on them. I just wanted to kind of get your reaction to that soundbite of her calling out those who have turned against her and have called her a traitor.
I think what that made me think of was Lindsey Graham. She was describing Lindsey Graham, and we've seen that while President Trump was attacking her and attacking Massey, he was golfing with Lindsey Graham. And Lindsey Graham, he betrayed Trump. He went on to the House floor after January 6th, and he said, "I'm out." He's gone on Table News, and he's made comments aligning with the woke people regarding the Muslim ban and that sort of thing. And then in June, he flew to Ukraine and commit Logan acts against President Trump. And he did that with Blumenthal. So, you know, yeah, you've pulled up the Liberty score. So Marjorie Taylor Greene has an A Liberty score. Thomas Massey has an A Liberty score. And this is by the Conservative Review, I think. And Lindsey Graham's got an F. So why are we aligning ourselves with the neocons when, you know, we've seen this war happening with the neocons and the Groypers, right? When it came to the alliance of what made America elect President Trump, it was MAHA, it was the libertarians, it was disaffected liberals. It wasn't the neocons, who were largely never Trump, and the Groypers, who I think didn't Nick Fuentes come out and endorse Kamala? So we're seeing these two factions fight over the soul of MAGA or America First or President Trump's party, who didn't do the work to get him elected. They're just trying to claim it now. So I think that's what's really interesting. And everybody's kind of turning on MTG and turning on Massey and ready to primary them based on these disagreements with President Trump.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was paying attention to President Trump's response on all of this, and I think that's like the key point. I think a lot of people have been going after MTG based on the president, what he was tweeting out over the weekends. I mean, he called her a traitor. He was throwing out a lot of mean, nasty names at this woman, and it's really hard to wrap your mind around why he would all of a sudden turn on her so quickly. When we sit there and we watch, though, when we watch what's going on at the White House right now, we see that there's a lot of people that we don't side with. The MAHA movement specifically, when you see the CEO of Pfizer being brought in, he was just there this weekend. You're scratching your head wondering, well, what the heck is going on? The people that voted for you didn't vote for that because nobody sided with that. I mean, nobody did. Seeing all these executives, these big CEOs, the Google CEO also making his way in. You know, YouTube did their very best to go after anyone who spoke truth to power in regards to the pandemic. And yet here he is shuffling these guys into the White House. Do you think the president's opinion has somehow shifted? Because, I mean, he's taking dinner and he's having dinner with, you know, people like Bill Gates as well, as you see in the videos. Mark Zuckerberg, the Zuckerbucks. I mean, we didn't forget about any of this. Why all of a sudden has he shifted?
I feel as though he would like to please the people who used to hate him. Mm-hmm. I know that that sounds kind of strange, but that's just the vibe that I get. Like, he likes to win over the hearts of the people who used to hate him. Has his opinion changed? I think he has new donors that he has to please. I don't see the 2016 President Trump when it comes to war whatsoever. And they're saying, you know, oh, he's ended 10 wars. And that's great. These 10 wars don't have anything to do with us. We're still funding Ukraine. I think the $1.2 billion in the big, beautiful bill went to Ukraine. They're still giving $4 billion a year to Israel, still endorsing these wars. The ceasefire, I think, 3 hours ago, there was a bomb drops in Palestine, so ceasefire's not really doing much. So yes, he's ending wars. That's great. I'm a non-interventionist. The fewer wars, the better. I'm glad we don't have anything to do with those wars, but I'd like to see the wars ended that he ran on. He ran on ending wars. He came to our Libertarian Convention and he said he's going to be a non-interventionist president. And I mean, we're preparing to go to war with Venezuela right now. Yeah. So I think that he has different donors to please. And we see some of them working to primary Thomas Massey, is it Adelson, working to primary Thomas Massey with the $20 billion or something up against him, or $1 million, sorry, up against him. So I think that he's working to just please people that he didn't have to please in 2016. And I don't know why there's this shift. I heard that he wasn't really allowed to go on X and to read the room. So I'm wondering if his advisors are just poorly advising him on how people actually feel about Israel, how people actually feel about Thomas.
Yeah, no, I mean, Thomas Massey is one of the very few who I think is just, he follows his morals, his moral compass, and he's not for sale. And there's a very few amount of congressional members who I think who do just that, Republican congressional members. And they've been the ones who have been pushing for all of this. So it's really upsetting to see. And I think you're definitely right. I don't know if he understands what the average American feels on these issues, because when I'm watching the comments too, I can't imagine the validation in his mind to go after MTG. Go after Thomas Massey all the time. It just doesn't make much in the way of sense to me. And it's also extremely divisive. You know, he had one of the most powerful movements where everyone, especially right after winning the election, where everyone felt very united and we were going to go out there, we're going to take back our country and put our country on the correct path. And it's somehow, I felt very blackpilled over these last few weeks watching what's been going on, even just bringing in the Al-Qaeda terrorists into the Oval Office and pretending like that was okay. There was not a single person that I saw on Twitter who was trying to validate why that was okay. And so, I really just don't even know why that was happening, but I could tell you when I was looking at cable news, I didn't see anyone being critical of it. And so that made me think, well, maybe he is that shelter where all he's watching is cable news. And so all the media outlets knew not to even cover it in a negative angle so that he wouldn't know how the American people felt about it. Because I just can't imagine how else this would all take place. Both the left, the warmongers, I mean, no one even spoke out on the issue. And so it was deeply, deeply concerning. And, you know, we just want to see this movement continue on this country where America is a top priority in the White House, and advancing us as a country is a top priority. But right now, it's not feeling that way. I wanted to shift gears over a little bit, too, because Nancy Pelosi has been rambling. Obviously, she's not seeking re-election. We're thankful for that. But she's been rambling about the first female presidents and how upset she was that we didn't make that happen under Clinton or with Kamala Harris. I want you to take a listen to this clip so you get a good chuckle on the other end of it, but it's clip 17. Let's play that.
set out to be Speaker.
Really? You thought there would be a woman president before Speaker of the House? Why?
Because I thought the American people were much more ready for a woman president. Just the thought of it, it's so exciting. And the message it sends to the world, faster than there would be a woman Speaker of the House. This place,
Okay, so I hate the female card when they pull this, but the fact that she's out here trying to outline how she's upset that there was a speaker before there was a president, I mean, does any of this really matter to voters? Are we really just going to vote blindly just because we like someone's gender and that's it?
Half the country will vote blindly because they like someone's gender, but they'll think their husbands are voting for the woman president, too. Their husbands are not. No, America's not ready for that. There are very specific gender roles that our country still embraces, and having a woman president, we're not ready for that. When it comes to Speaker of the House, when it comes to press secretary, when it comes to places where women do have voices, that's a little different. That's, the way women are presented as calm forces or, uniters and that sort of thing. But when you're a president, your job is not to please everybody. Your job is to protect America and keep America great and keep America on the path of our founding fathers. And a woman president, we're not ready for that in America. Not even close.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if there was someone who was qualified, I'd be okay with it. But I still have not seen a qualified name be kind of sprung out there for who could lead this country. I think that's I think most Americans are getting tired of that glass ceiling analogy that they always like to pour out there. We're done with it. Like, give us someone who's qualified and then we could discuss it. But obviously, Kamala Harris was never qualified to run, neither Hillary Clinton. And so we're over it. I don't want to see a first female president if they're not qualified for the position. We're done with this DEI nonsense, and the rest of the country is ready to move on from it. And speaking of that, I kind of want to highlight this story here. Now, these are just allegations being made about this woman, so let's just keep that in mind. This is the government, the DOJ, who's accusing her of lying. So keep that in mind when I read you this report. But a former New Jersey GOP aide allegedly paid a fetish artist to mutilate her body. And they did write the words Trump whore on her stomach and did slash her in the neck, the shoulders, and on other parts of her body. Her name is Natalie Green. She's being accused of this. She was arrested on Wednesday and was charged with masterminding the violent, bogus ambush that she claims took place in Egg Harbor, New Jersey. Now, this is outside of a natural reserve area that this all took place. And they ultimately said that they found her. She was like tied up, and she claimed that there was some man who attacked her. Three gunmen wielding weapons attacked her and her friend are on the trail around 10:36 p.m. And then the images itself are really, really graphic. Just kind of want to warn you about that. But we constantly cover these hoax. And obviously the first thing that comes to so many people's minds is Jussie Smollett. But this woman, I mean, she allegedly worked for, or she did at one point work for Jeff Van Drew in New Jersey. And she was a Rutgers law student as well. I mean, this is so crazy to me that she would get to this point if these allegations against her are true, where she would do something like this. They're alleging that she paid $500 to get these gruesome wounds all over her body. What does this say to you if this is true? Because, again, it's allegations, and I want to be fair on that. What does it say about women's mental health these days?
We have a massive mental health issue. I know when it comes to left-wing women, there was a study that was done with how many of them actually are on like SSRIs, and it was something like 30, 40, or 50%. It was higher than anything should ever be. So there is a massive mental health crisis when it comes to women in general. And it's in a lot of different factions. So it's in like the mothers who have trans kids, for instance, 60% of mothers with a trans kid have a cluster B personality disorder. And we see them sort of doing these attention seeking behaviors. And I think the internet really inflames that. They found a place to get that attention and to get it really fast and to get that kind of dopamine hit. And I mean, these are allegations.
Yeah.
They must have some evidence for the DOJ to say this is fake. This didn't happen. So it's hard to be too gracious with it. But if she did do something like that to actually hurt herself, I mean, we need to revisit mental health in America, largely whether it comes to the trans agenda, whether it comes to the mothers of trans children, whether it comes to Republican women who mutilate themselves for attention. Yeah. It's something that needs to be revisited very hard.
It's a big issue, and I know you're a big supporter of the MAHA movement as well. And, you know, RFK Jr. has been looking into what these drugs specifically are doing to young people, because that's a big issue here. But also Instagram. Like, I have to, like, physically, like, make sure, because I always find myself, you know, we go down the wormhole, and I just feel like literally force myself to put down my phone, because the things that get generated in my phone, my algorithm, are insane. Like, I'm someone who's in my early 30s, and I'm getting, like, facelift stuff, like, all this, like, things, like, getting a facelift in your early 30s is something that you should truly consider, and you're getting all, like, this propaganda. I mean, if I was somebody who wasn't well or was obviously over-consuming this stuff, these are things that are really, really dangerous. How do we combat this? Because right now we're looking at the drug angle to all of this. I know MAHA is very enthusiastic about that, and RFK Jr. making that a top priority. But these social media algorithms are so toxic, especially for young women and mothers and you know, fathers out there who are looking to raise their kids. I mean, can you even allow them on social media at this point?
Not really at this point. I thank God that my daughters don't really use social media. They talk to, like, friends they know in real life and don't really use the internet, don't really watch TV, don't have that kind of influence pouring into their life. And I mean, as somebody with a large platform, the number one thing people attack me on is what I look like.
Yeah.
Like, you're old, you're too thin, and just to have this outpouring, and sometimes it can really dogpile, and it can really, if I were not the woman I am today, if I were like who I was in high school, they could really damage me. Some of the things people say to me, like humans say to me, like, they forget you're a human. So I'm really glad that my children personally aren't on TV and watching TV and on the internet and doing all this stuff just as a mother of daughters, because it's so toxic. But I think it's not just the drugs. It's sort of the way we have to look at self-worth and the way we have to look at how to not take it personally. There's a lot of people and a lot of opinions out there. And what I do is I think this has nothing to do with me. This is their dream. This is their vision. This is who they are. This is how they see the world. And this is their projection onto me. And I know my reality better than anybody else would know my reality. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a lot of unlearning to do as women. We're taught as women that we have to please everybody, through whether it's through our domestication, whether it's through our education. We have to please people. We have to take their criticism. We have to just live this life through the eyes of somebody else. And once you unlearn doing that, you become such a much stronger person. So that's how I personally get through it. That's why I'm not mentally ill and on drugs and the attacks that have come at me, and the slander that's come at me. And I teach my daughters the same.
Yeah. I mean, you're on the right path with all of this. It's so crazy when I sit there and I'm like looking at stuff. I'm like, I don't understand how any teenager could use social media these days and be okay. I mean, I have to stay away from all of it sometimes myself. Like, I always joke on Twitter, I'm like, put your phone down, go touch grass. But the reality is so many people are so glued to their phones that I think there is, like you were talking about, there's like this effect, right? When something goes viral, you just keep chasing this. And people find themselves just doing stupid things to go viral online and possibly criminal. And so we're watching this all pours out. We'll watch that case as it develops. I'm interested to see her side of all of this, because obviously, you know, she's got a great legal defense that she's going to have to put on for this one. And you don't want to contribute to the slander, but oh my gosh, it's just so toxic right now, social media and all this stuff out there. So we'll continue to watch it. Josie, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate your insight on all these issues. And again, folks, if you're not following her on X, I highly recommend you do head on over right now. It's TRHL official, TRHL official. I say it too fast sometimes and I blur up everything. So thank you, Josie, for joining us. I appreciate your time as always.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Folks, we're continuing to focus on a lot of different stories. In case you missed it at the top of the show, let me just tell you what we've been keeping our eye on. As many of you guys know, yesterday on the Hill, on Capitol Hill, there was a lot going on. A lot of Democrats calling out a lot of insane. They weren't calling it out. We were calling it out. They were pretty much just trying to defend them, fellow Democrats, in regards to the Epstein exposing that was going on. And it was quite the interesting chain of events. I want to play clip three for you, because Jasmine Crockett, obviously a low IQ human being, but she was trying her very best to defend her fellow Dem, Stacey Prackett, for texting Jeffrey Epstein. As many of you guys know, that was really called into question. That was one of the big things that came out in the email dumps that we received. But take a listen to how outrageous Jasmine Crockett was when she was trying to defend her. Take a listen.
Stacey didn't initiate that chain. Jeffrey initiated that chain, and she took the information. Just like if somebody texts me.
Yeah, but she was responding and saying, you know, what are you talking about? Quick, I'm up next. And then her questions were about Rona. But do you think that was inappropriate? I mean, would you text with someone who is a registered sex offender about what you should ask?
I honestly know that he had never been convicted of any federal crimes at that time.
But he had been in jail already.
He had been in jail. And my deal is this. The Republicans are constantly texting with a 34-count convicted felon. So if it's okay for them to text him at any point in time, then I'm not going to say that that's right or wrong, especially to the extent that you're talking about kicking someone off their committee. Were they sexting? Was it a matter of her being involved in the pedophilia? No, it was nothing like that.
Yeah, so again, folks, the level of stupidity, right? She's trying to conflate President Trump, who is being politically persecuted, with a pedophile. Now, Jasmine Crockett apparently is an attorney, so just keep that in mind when she's making up this stupidity and she's trying her very best to find some valid reason to defend her ally. For text messaging, a convicted pedophile, someone we all knew was a horrible human being, she's doing her very best. She's trying. She's really just scraping the bottom of the barrel right now. But that's what Democrats do. They never abandon their own, and they always continuously defend them, even when they're caught sending text messages to a convicted pedophile. It's just absurd. But this is what they do. They never abandon their own. They continue to defend them, even if it's as stupid as it is. That's what you see playing out there. Folks, I want to remind you right now, we have Dick Cheney's funeral services are going on right now. My producers just told us that apparently President Trump and J.D. Vance were not invited to the services, but everyone else, all the deep state, was invited. Present there was obviously Mike Pence, as well as the Bushes. They were present, and several others. Kamala Harris was also present as well. So Trump and J.D. Vance didn't get an invite, which is probably for the best, and good on them, folks. They don't want to be there. So I'm sure this was probably a blessing in disguise for both of those very, very busy men to not get that invite. But at least President Trump is a classy man and did order that the flags were brought down to half staff for Dick Cheney, a horrible person, obviously. And so is his daughter. But we'll let them mourn on this day. Obviously, George W. Bush out there speaking now about the former VP. And if anything breaks from there, we'll tell you about it, of course, but we're not going to bring you the audio because I can only imagine the stupidity that they're spreading over there, the lies that they're continuously pushing. Folks, tomorrow we got a jam-packed program for you as well, so make sure you are here. In the meantime, if you haven't done so already, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Join the Alex Jones Hat Club. Subscribe today for $30 a month. Members-only access includes hats that are not sold at thealexjonesstore.com or anywhere else. Every single month, you're going to get a uniquely designed hat delivered every 30 days. This helps fuel our fight to get the truth out there, and you get a really cool hat in return for helping and supporting us. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. And also happening over at the shop, you get a free $10 credit that applies to your order at checkout. Now, folks, that is a free $10, no minimum at all. So when you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, you get that free credit. And of course, we have great items that are now in stock. I know colostrum was one that was out of stock at one point. We're back in stock with colostrum, as well as methylene blue we have over at the shop, and those sea moss capsules. I know so many women out there especially are big fans of sea moss these days. It actually goes viral. It's one of the things in my algorithm is how incredible sea moss is for your health. If you are someone who struggles with bloating, that is something you're definitely going to want to snag as well. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now and make sure you grab that. All right, tomorrow on the show, we're going to have Mel Kay joining me because there's a lot to talk about. Mel Kay is digging through a lot of files right now, a lot of government documents, and she's got a lot that she's ready to sound off on. I know because she keeps calling me to tell me about the latest that she's learning, so we look forward to having her on the program tomorrow. In the meantime, folks, if you haven't done so already, download the app, alexjonesapp.com. And I'll be back in my chair again tomorrow morning, bringing you guys the very latest that everyone's too afraid to tell you about. We'll be bringing the truth here on The American Journal. Alex is up next on The Alex Jones Show, so don't go anywhere.
We have a sale going until Friday evening at midnight, where you get $10 off at checkout, no promo code, just $10 taken off on top of all the sales, and you get a free Patriot flag randomly. There's four flags we have left in stock. They're ordering more. Gadsden flags, you name it. Get a free flag. But the real reason you want to go there is because the supplements are so incredible. And we have the widest selection of Patriot apparel, ball caps, T-shirts, all of it. But the Ultra Methylene Blue, you're crazy if you don't get it. We have the best. It is such a game changer. Huge pick-me-up with no letdown. You've seen the rave reviews. You've read the rave reviews. This is not hype. You are really missing out if you don't go to theolicshowstore.com and get Ultra Methylene Blue, get the Irish Sea Moss, the Shilajit. We have all the best. Oh, yeah, creatine came in. We have the highest quality creatine. A lot of just basic staples are there. The very strongest, best turmeric, 95% cumanoid. Great natural fat burner. Also makes you feel great. Ultimate burn. You want beef tallow? We got beef tallow balm. People love it. It's all there. Optimal Human. Wow. The best, strongest green drink out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for all your support. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And when you have the free Droid or Apple app at AlexJonesApp.com and you buy through the shopping cart there, additional 20% off and everything on top of that. That's insane.
Happy Thanksgiving from the InfoWars crew. Turkey stuffing and some methylene blue. Pumpkin pie with a dash of whipped cream. Defeating the globalist is our number one dream. TheAlexJonesStore.com for your gifts. Fight Bill Gates, Fauci, and Shifty Schiff. Thanks for your support all through the years. Happy Thanksgiving and holiday cheers.